The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
We're going to skate to one song only. Lady Hump by the Black Eyed Peas. What you going to do with all that junk inside my trunk? I'm going to get you drunk, off my lady hump, my lovely lady hump.
I don't even know what that means.
No one knows what it means, but it's provocative.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
It's over. All the endorsements, everything gone. Oh my God, I can't get a real job. It'll kill me.
Paul Perillo.
Was that your routine or a performance of Cirque du Soleil? Besides, you're too late. They already handed out the girls' medals this morning.
And Andy. And Andy?
You an official here? Because you have officially given me a boner.
Andy Hart.
Ah! Nutsack!
Hey! You gotta be careful, man. Unlike you, I actually use these things.
Hey, look, I didn't mean to drag your balls into the discussion. That was uncalled for. They're fine. I overreacted.
Eric Scalavino.
So how'd it go with your lady? Carve up any ice? With your wiener?
For now, anyway.
Mind-boggling, isn't it?
Did you just say mind-boggling?
Yeah, mind-boggling. You know, when things are so crazy, it gets your thoughts all trapped like in a bottle.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
From here on out, you guys are a team. Do you understand? You are going to eat together, sleep together. You are going to pee together. You're going to file a joint income tax return. Practice starts now.
And PFW in Progress starts now. Welcome to Gillette Stadium, everyone. Eric Scalavino, Paul Perillo, Andy Hart, Kevin's behind the glass. That's right. Didn't mention Fred Kirsch because he's not here today.
Why, Andy?
Well, because he couldn't actually find it in himself to talk everybody off the cliff and tell them this was a great draft. Even with a couple days to think about it, he's still questioning the picks, and he figured if he can't be that guy, then what role does he have on the show?
Andy, Eric, and Paul are higher on the draft than
Fred Kirsch.
He's
sad.
On the draft.
It's unbelievable. He couldn't even bring himself to participate in the first show following the draft.
Yeah. And we've had now 2.5 days now to absorb and digest all that the Patriots did
to talk to people
the 3 days of the draft and subsequently, because they've made some moves reportedly since then. Nothing official, although they have cut some guys. We've got plenty of news to talk about. We've got the draft. We're going to recap fully now that we've had some time to think about it. We've got players released. We've got players reportedly signing as undrafted rookie free agents. What else do we have, guys? Potentially a player coming in later on. We don't want to spoil any surprises, but maybe we'll get a visit from somebody later on. But plenty of Patriots stuff to talk about. We've even got Jason Collins I see on the screen now. We've got that story to talk about if anybody is so inclined.
Everybody's talking about it.
Yeah. Tim Tebow getting cut from the New York Jets. Headed up here. Oh, we're going
to
talk about it. People want to talk about
him.
It, Andy. Because we know he's your favorite player in the NFL. But we're going to be here for the next 2 hours talking about it. Webradio@patriots.com is our email address where you can send us your thoughts, critiques, criticisms of anything and everyone. 508-298-0398 is our ACE ticket hotline if you want to give us a call. And tweet any of us at any time, of course. Kevin is, I'm sure, obsessed with the Facebook page back there, too. So if you want to post stuff on there, feel free. But, all right, let's start off with the draft, guys. We've had a few days now. I think at the end of the show on Saturday, most of us had in the B range as our final grade for the draft. Sticking with that? Has it moved at all?
B?
Oh, it moved.
Yeah, I ended with a B. I think I'm going to stick with a B.
I'm a little lower on it, maybe B minus. Because even the guys I like, I don't know exactly what they're going to be and how quickly. I mean, I think Paul and I have both decided we like the athletes, looking for playmakers.
Collins
right? And Boyce, to me, are the athletes.
Yep.
And I know Dobson, people think, is an athlete, and a lot of people are penciling him at the X. I know Greg Bedard, formerly of the Boston Globe, very high on him, thinks he's going to slide right into that starting job on the outside, and, you know, people are going to love him. I'm going to wait and see what I get to watch him do in training camp before I make that opinion. I'm more intrigued by Boyce and his elite speed and playmaking ability. I think he's intriguing, but I think there's a chance, and Robert Kraft talked about this, I think there's a chance that you don't get anything out of this draft that's anywhere near the impact you got last year when you had four starters or three starters plus Wilson on defense, who was a starter for periods of time last year. I think this draft is going to look lackluster in comparison. And it's not surprising when you have two first-round picks and move up for both of them as compared to limited five picks, trading down, and all that. But I like the athletes. We'll see how they fit in terms of becoming actual playmakers for the Patriots.
And the overall draft was lackluster. So even if the Patriots draft itself turns out to be what Andy just said, I think that's kind of par for the course. The overall draft wasn't all that inspiring.
I agree with you overall, and Robert Kraft obviously did as well by making the comment that he made before the draft when he was talking about some of the work that the organization has done in conjunction with the One Fund Boston and all the wonderful things that the organization was able to do in raising money for those victims. $617,000, by the way. When you talk about the draft, I think that when you're going to go back, Andy said you're not going to have the impact that you did last year. I totally agree. Here's what it's going to come down to me, because I love the two athletes that Andy talked about, Collins and Boyce. But what you in 2 or 3 years, you're going to look back and you're going to look at Cordarrelle Patterson and you're going to wonder how good he is, and then you're going to say, should we have just taken him rather than going down 23 spots? Because I think we all wanted to and felt like the Patriots would move down.
Yeah.
I'm not sure that all of us envisioned to move down 23 spots. I certainly didn't. They took themselves almost out of the second round by picking, I think, 20th and 27th or something like that in the second round. Down to 52
and 59. Yep.
So you ended up going from the first round to the end of the second round. That's a big drop. That's why I think you're going to look back and you're going to say, well, Aaron Dobson, he might be better than Patterson. I think there's a chance that could happen. I'm not overly sold on Patterson. I don't think he's a sure thing by any means. But if I'm wrong and if the Patriots were wrong and all of a sudden Patterson is, sort of one of the next generation of young receivers and he – you know, all of a sudden is panning out, and your guys struggle a little bit, you're going to look at this draft a little bit differently, and not for the better.
I think you're right, Paul. I think that Cordarrelle Patterson move is going to be the telltale one. Because when we got to that point in the draft, I think all of us kind of, when they hadn't made a trade by the time their pick came up, I think I started to think, oh, you know what, I think they're going to make the pick here. And I think I would have been happy with almost anybody that they had gotten there, whether it was Patterson, whether it was some other defensive end, outside linebacker type.
I think there was some defensive lineman probably in play. What worried me in terms of making the pick, and I know that you really wanted to make a pick because you were sort of avoiding the trade down,
yeah.
Eric. But once when Hayden went as early as he did, I want to say he went 12 or something like that.
Something like that.
You know, when he went as early as he did, I think he ended up going to Miami, or where Miami's spot was, to Oakland, when Miami traded with Oakland at 12. He's gone. Trufant's gone. You know, obviously Milliner, everybody expected to be gone. Now you're kind of taking cornerback off the table because none of those guys that you thought was elite remained on the board.
Mm-hmm.
So now you're down to defensive line and you're down to wide receiver. I think a lot of us, and I'll put myself, I won't speak for you guys, felt like he probably wouldn't take a wide receiver in the first round. So that left it up to defensive line. I want to say 12 or 11 or 12 front seven guys went in the first 28 picks.
Yeah.
So you're looking at it and you're like, Bill almost got backed into a corner. It's like, geez, even if I didn't want to trade this pick, I feel like I have to. So that's why I have no problem at all with the trade down. You were able to get some picks. Contrary to some opinion, they did not fleece the Minnesota Vikings in this trade. It was a pretty even trade in terms of value. As I mentioned, they dropped 23 spots. So Minnesota, therefore, went up 23 spots. That costs a lot to do.
Mm.
And in this case, it cost them four picks. So that's what it costs to go up 23 spots.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big move. So I think Andy did all the math, and I know others did as well. It came out within, less than 10 points.
9.5 points was the difference. Yeah, it was like 649.5 to 640 or something.
Yeah, so the amount of points in terms of the value on most of the tried and true value charts had this as a pretty even trade. I think it was an excellent one for the Patriots because I think, like I said,
yeah, I mean,
the guy that they probably wanted, you know, and there was some defensive linemen that went right around them. We heard some rum. There was one of the papers had a line, a sort of a throwaway line that I think may have had some validity to it the way it was written. Sylvester Williams was a defensive tackle out of North Carolina, right,
yep,
Andy?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. He went, I want to say, to Denver right before the Patriots. And I think that was a guy that may have been the final straw. I think if maybe they had an opportunity to get him, you know, maybe they make the pick.
Well, it's interesting you say that because it was Nick Caserio did the post-day press conference
round one,
and somebody asked him about trading out. It might have been our guy Tom Curran, and whether or not there was anyone on the board that made them which precipitated their having made the trade. And Caserio said that there were still some guys left. That they would have picked. And then the next day, when they actually made some picks, I think it might have been Tom or somebody else followed up with Bill and said, you know, were any of those guys that Nick mentioned available? And, of course, we didn't really quite get the answer we were looking for.
No, because I think people were surprised that they didn't get aggressive and maybe trade up
in
the second round. That's what I was sort of envisioning Thursday night when I left here. I kind of thought that we'd see a trade up with those two second-round picks or maybe a second and a third to get up, say, eight or ten spots.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't see that. So that tells me that those guys probably weren't available when they wanted to do it.
Yeah.
So, you know, who knows? A lot of times it's a game of you know, it's like blind man's bluff. You know,
mm-hmm.
who knows, you know, who they really wanted and then who was off the board at that time.
All right, webradio at patriots.com, as I said earlier, the email address 508-298-0398. So, in general, we're all giving it somewhere in the B range as an overall grade for the draft.
I really, really like the first pick a lot. I think that's a kind of player, I think, that can make an impact on this
defense. That'd be great. I mean, if you can have him...
I'm not saying immediately. He's the kind of player
If he fulfills the potential that we think he has, and Jones makes that year two jump... That's a pretty good foundation of edge guys trying to get after the quarterback. It's something they've needed. I mean, even one guy. We would have taken one guy to be that guy. Having two young players at that position greatly increases this defense's potency,
right?
I think.
As opposed to its recent impotency.
Exactly. So while all of us are sort of optimistic overall, you might want to question one or two players in particular here and there. But,
I don't know. Harmon?
Bo Harnais. All these Rutgers guys.
Bo
Harnais.
Yeah. He mispronounces it.
Matt, here I was thinking 2.5 days removed would get Eric get rid of his D-bagginess that had everybody in an uproar.
No.
It's still there.
No. But while all of us are giving it a B, Matt in North Carolina, I think, is significantly lower in his grade for the draft.
F.
Hey, guys, thought the pre-draft guest appearances on Patriots Today for the positional breakdowns were great. Plus, love the Patriots Today Day 3 wrap-up video bomb by Andy. Hilarious.
I need to watch that. They were shooting a stand-up upstairs, so I just walked by and smiled and then turned around and walked
by. Oh, you actually did do it. I thought you were just threatening to do it.
No, I did it, and then I thought they were going to have to reshoot it because I think the trade came right after it or something. But
I
wasn't sure it ever made it in.
Oh.
I'm going to have to watch that.
He's like video bombing Patriots Today.
It was a long weekend.
That head, too, that's taken up all of the background.
That's the bomb.
Matt continues. In more somber news, what a terrible Patriots draft. I've been reasonably happy with our drafts going back to 2010 when we got our tight ends, shake and break, he calls them, 2011 our running backs, and last year with Jones and Hightower in the first. This year, by comparison, I feel we got squat. When I read Richard Hill's roster projection piece on Pat's Pulpit today, I thought to myself, Pats have a good, solid roster. Then I realized that besides Brady, Big Vince, that Solder kid, and maybe Mankins and Mayo, I don't see any great players. I can't include shake and break because they can't stay on the field. In short, it looks to me like we have a lot of competency, but little real talent. And though competency will get you into the playoffs, if you're in the AFC East, I'm afraid it's not enough to get you a ring. So,
playmakers wanted.
Here's my question. Do you think Brady and Belichick win another Super Bowl? I used to think so, but now I'm not so sure. That's Matt in North Carolina.
No idea. I mean, they're certainly going to be in the conversation. They certainly have a chance. But
it's getting tougher, though. Would I make them the favorite? They're getting more talented.
Yeah, I wouldn't make them the favorite necessarily. I think they're probably in a group of 5 to 7 teams. You know, you look at San Francisco. You look at Denver. Those are two teams that I think I would probably put ahead of the Patriots. But the scary thing for me saying San Francisco is the quarterback. We know how important quarterback play is, and I'm not totally sold on Kaepernick. I am not sold that he, as good as that defense is, if your quarterback can't make plays consistently, or if the read option, you know, all these defensive coordinators that spent the entire offseason breaking down the read option, well, if they catch up to him, now can he just drop back and make the throws he needs to make? I don't know.
We've seen some, not to go on a tangent, but we've seen some interesting stories this offseason of coaching staff spending time places.
Oh, yeah.
With the sole purpose of learning to defend the pistol.
Mm-hmm.
And these offenses that people are starting to do. People going to college campuses to try to learn how to deal with some of these formations and blocking schemes and stuff. It's going to be interesting because I think you're right. What happens when someone takes away the read option? Someone takes away the run portion of that. Can a guy throw well enough to do it? We'll find out.
I mentioned off the top that there was some transactions this
trannies.
Week. Some official.
You like trannies?
No, I don't. Transactions, however.
Bad guy.
Patriots released, this is official news, the Patriots released 5 players yesterday. Among them, draft pick from last year, Jeremy Ebert, wide receiver. Tony Fiametta, fullback, one of Andy's favorites. Tight end Brad Herman, an undrafted rookie who, you know, suffered the misfortune of tearing up his knee in rookie camp or mini camp last year. Tracy Robinson, Robertson, if you had asked me if he was on the team, I would have never remembered that name. And this guy on and off, Malcolm Williams, another draft pick from a couple of years ago, who's been on and off the active roster, practice squad. Something tells me sometime during the season, he'll be back for a cup of coffee, either on the active roster or on the practice squad. He's one
of
those
guys. Well, you don't cover a lot of kicks in the spring, so there's really no need to have him around.
Yeah. Plus, there.
I think that might be it for him, though, with the Patriots, only because of the time that he's getting released.
Maybe.
If he got released with the final cut, I would say, you know.
Maybe you're right.
In training camp, but if they don't even deem him worthy of bringing him to camp, they must have some other guys they think.
Plus, we drafted his replacement.
There's some other. There's some other special teams types too. I mean, I think Bo Harness is probably going to be a Tracy White type.
Yeah.
As Greg Bedard tried to point out in the press conference, and Bill wasn't having
any
of it.
Wasn't playing
strictly because of height and weight, right?
Yeah. Well, he started with that, and he said, "Is he similar?" But
he said the funny part was the question, the answer he asked. And we should probably,
No, or whatever.
He said, you know, is he a similar size, and maybe you as Tracy White, and maybe you envision him in that kind of a. As a Tracy White replacement, and he said, no. Well, yeah, they're the same size, but no, I don't see them being the same player.
Yeah.
There was definitely a no, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, no. It's one of those cases where, okay, he said yeah and no. And
I'll take whichever one it suits
my point. Fits my services.
So they drafted 7, and now since then, reportedly, they've added 15 other undrafted rookies. And
how many, Andy?
15.
How many do you and I say that to Fred that they were going to be signing?
15.
And how many did he say they would do? Same as last year.
Yeah.
4, 5, 6.
Last year, whatever it was.
Yeah, they had more draft picks last
Shockingly,
year.
Shockingly, Fred Kerr.
Well, they ended up with
wrong
7.
Again.
It was 7-7, I think, in draft picks. I think we had 7
did we have
draft
only
picks
7 last
year?
I think. Thought I it was more.
I think it was 6 out of 7 were on defense last year and 5 out of 7 on defense this year. But the roster was a lot bigger last year. They've lost a lot more players.
Mm-hmm. So they had 75 veterans.
Did I just say a lot more bigger?
I don't know. I don't listen to you all the time.
I apologize for that abomination of the English language.
They had 80 veterans. They cut the 5 that we just mentioned, so that brings in the 72. If you include these 22.
Wait, what'd you just say? You said they had 80 veterans. They cut the 5. That brings them to 72.
75.
Oh, okay.
Did I say 72?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
I apologize for that lack
sorry
of math.
That.
We don't want any repeats of the weekend for Paul.
So now they've added reportedly these guys. Punter Ryan Allen from Louisiana Tech.
I was going to say he'd be good in pickup games.
Another fullback.
He got game.
Yes.
Ben Bartholomew, Tennessee. 6'2", 252.
Is he related to Brian?
I don't know. You can ask him if he.
Bartholomew, isn't it?
Oh, okay, then probably.
Yeah. Kenoris Davis, defensive back from Troy. Elvis Fisher, O-lineman, Missouri. Brandon Ford, tight end, Clemson. Somebody was really high on this guy. Corey Grissom, defensive lineman, South Florida, said...
was one of the NFL...
One of the NFL...
The old coot.
Gil Brandt?
Yeah, I think it was him.
His top defensive lineman not drafted?
Yeah, I believe so.
This Corey Grissom kid, 6'2", 306. South Florida, that's a school that Bill's pretty kind of familiar with, too.
Well, it's because it's nice down there.
Yeah.
As Bill O'Brien told me, you notice he doesn't stop by Penn State in the offseason where it snows. He's always in Florida.
Oh, he's got a direct connection now with Penn State anyway. He doesn't really need to go down there. Running back from Akron, Quentin Hines.
Convention Center?
Different spelling.
Okay.
Brandon Jones, another Rutgers kid. You wanted another Rutgers kid? You got him. Brandon Jones, defensive back. Just take that whole secondary and bring them on over here. Just sure.
Let them all in.
Bring them on.
Let them all in.
The Rutgers spring game is now known as OTAs.
OTAs.
Gillette Stadium.
That's right. A rookie minicamp.
Where'd you make that one?
I made that up.
They love the Kent State guys, too. Another Kent State, Josh Klein, guard.
Is he a wrestler, too?
Doesn't say that, no. Christopher McDonald, another guard, Michigan State.
Never have enough guards, Paul.
T.J. Moe, wide receiver, Missouri.
Ho!
Mm-hmm. Here's your Penn State guy, cornerback, Stephon Morris. Small kid, 5'8", 188. On the little side. Another tight end from Nevada, Zach Sudfeld. 6'7", and 4'7", speed, apparently. But he's also not too powerful, according to Tom Curran's little analysis here.
He was another one of those tight ends that ran around and caught a bunch of passes undersized.
Tall drink of water, though,
Yeah.
And two more. Wide receiver Kenbrell Tompkins from Cincinnati. Pretty decent size, 6'1", 193. And he's the cousin of Antonio Brown, apparently, of the Steelers. And last one, Penn State, the second one, center Matt Stankiewicz. So none of those official yet, but either from media reports and or Twitter accounts of the players, it appears that those 15 undrafted guys are going to be here on Friday and Saturday when rookie minicamp. We should mention rookie minicamp is going to be this weekend, Friday afternoon, Saturday afternoon. We'll have the availability to talk to some of these new guys again, the draft picks again, and some of these new guys for the first time on Saturday and on Friday as well. So
so safe to say that Kafka will be running the show at rookie minicamp?
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised to see Ryan Mallett out there either.
Ooh, that wouldn't be good. I mean, some team wants to trade you to start, and you're playing in your third year of rookie minicamp.
I think that you're probably right, and it'll be Kafka, but I wouldn't be shocked to see Mallett out there as well.
I would be. I would use that as a black mark against him.
And you do need to have somebody running the show.
Well, you got Nick Caserio. Yeah.
Well, that's not bad.
He's still got the arm. He can still sling it. Back to the inbox. Michael the Dane. I'm guessing he's from Denmark then.
Well, you should hate our designer, Maura Wilson, because she says Danish suck.
Mm. Unbelievable. We were having this conversation yesterday. Maura doesn't like Danish. Not the people,
right?
Necessarily. But the
remember that time when I said,
Danish
what does Denmark
are a waste?
Have? And Danish was pretty high on the list. She thinks they're a waste. They're not good.
A waste of space.
Quote,
filler.
Buffets.
Yeah.
And I don't think she's ever had a good Danish, apparently.
And if we get her the best Danish she's ever had, she's not going to admit that she likes it.
Right. Well, that's she's more too. Stubborn than you and I ever will be.
Combined.
Yes.
Combined.
So Michael the Dane says, hi, PFW. Thank you for the great draft coverage. Love getting the pick analyzed from a Pats perspective. I don't mind we traded out of the first round to get more picks in the second, third, and fourth. Never mind the seventh. The draft lacked the clear potential starters, but we're deep in the positions needed. Having said that, I don't get why BB decided to piss away a third-round pick on Daron Harmon. Why not wait and draft him in the seventh round if you find him a steal at that point? Clearly no other team was looking to pick him up.
Well, how do we know that?
Overall, I like that we address the positions in need. I guess we'll have to wait and see if it was genius or madness. Keep up the good work.
You know what drives me madness? Is the idea that, you know, no one else was going to take him. How do you know? You don't know. And if you want him, take him. I'm not saying I like the pick, but if he wanted him, he can't just assume no one else is going to take him.
Well,
he's going to get him undrafted.
I think when the consensus, when there's no other draft site out there that even has a photo of the guy or a bio, that pretty much tells you that he's not on anybody's radar.
But no one was on anybody. You know, Vollmer, they've had picks.
Well, Vollmer was on people's radar.
And
Vollmer, people at least knew Vollmer.
I don't think Vollmer was as well known as you think he is at the time. It was an oft-criticized pick.
It was definitely a criticized
pick. Could have had him three rounds later.
He wasn't at the combine, and I don't think that he was as off the radar as this guy,
but
a lot of people thought that was three rounds early.
No
as
one
well.
Knows who other teams are taking.
But here's my problem. Okay. We like to give credit for the teams that do their due diligence and they have an idea of how the draft goes and the process and if you do that and you sort of give teams credit for forecasting what other teams are going to do and how the things are going to shake out, then I don't think you can sit there and say, well, you never know what the other teams are going to do. Well,
I don't buy that anybody knows what anybody's doing.
People say that they do.
Yeah, I don't buy that.
So
I've never bought that. When they say, you know, the board shook down about how we expected.
Listen, I agree with Andy. There's no way you can know for sure what the other teams are going to do. That I agree with. But do you think how do I explain this? Let's just say for argument's sake, they had a guy that was top on their board at 29. But he was sort of off the rip. Like, they know that Daron Harmon was sort of a off-the-beaten-path guy.
Sure.
They had to know that most teams didn't feel the way they did about him. Whether they knew all of them didn't, they don't know. Okay, I'll submit that they have no way of knowing all of that. But
what are we in court?
They're looking at all of the, you know, the projections just like everybody else. And as we said over the weekend, if they're not, they're doing themselves a disservice.
Correct.
So we know they are, right? If they had a guy that they felt was the best guy available for their first round pick, and they're looking at all the draft services and all the different draft publications, and no one has him as a first round pick, do you think they take him? I don't.
I don't know, but I also think it's a lot easier in the first round than any other point in the draft, personally. I think if you're at 29 and you see a guy at 24 or 23, whatever, you kind of have an idea what the top couple needs are with the other teams and where they might be going. And you'd have a better chance of knowing. I just don't see them taking a, you know, corner in this because they have.
No, but
two
I'm talking
corner.
More about your board itself. Not
I
necessarily
know. I just think
filling
the board
needs.
Goes out the window in the third round. I don't think anybody has any idea. I think it stops being predictable before that because it's later in the draft. You don't know what teams have already. You know.
No, that's a fair point. In
first round picks, most often, I think you can have a decent idea.
Yeah.
You know, not the whole round, but, you know, five picks ahead, six picks ahead. This is what they need. This is who's available, blah, blah, blah. In the third round, if you want a guy, go get him if you think it's worth it.
And that's a fair point. And the flip side of that, to counter the argument that I brought up, you know, with the first round pick, later on, these same draft publications and services, Michael Buchanan is a guy that got in the seventh round that a lot of people thought was a third or fourth round projection.
Well, same as this T.J. Moe guy. This guy was like a third round pick.
Yeah, I don't love T.J. Moe, but that's another argument altogether. So
no,
it does work both ways, though.
There's plenty of ratings out there, so no one really knows.
And so
that's the bottom line.
You know,
I saw the thing out of Buffalo. E.J. Manuel, the guy was joking. Somebody was joking. He didn't tell his son or daughter asked, and like a young kid. And he wouldn't say. He wouldn't tell anyone what they planned on doing in the draft because he was freaked out. They wanted it to be a surprise pick. So.
And we thought we had it bad.
I know, right?
Right. Dad.
I mean, at least there's a chance that, you know, it is our job and one of us slips up and makes a mistake and tells someone that we shouldn't have. But I'd like to think if my dad was making the pick, he'd trust me.
I know, right? Seriously.
Well, we know Belichick didn't tell Steve who he was taking because actually
Steve was telling Belichick
who to take.
Yeah, right.
Dad, he had a locker next to me. He was really cool.
He was a really
that was
cool
my,
guy.
My personal favorite comment on the Rutgers thing
yes.
was that. You know, why couldn't Steve Belichick have gone to Alabama?
Right.
Yeah. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. And on there right now we have our guy Tyrone from Delaware. What up, Tyrone? Tyrone, are you there?
Hello?
Tyrone.
Yeah, I'm here.
How you doing, brother?
How you guys doing?
Good. How do you feel about the draft?
Man, look, you guys know I'm the biggest Bill Belichick criticizer. But, man, I'm kind of pleased, to be honest with you. I cannot really say anything. I know you guys were talking about last year. I mean, on the show, the previous show, the draft show you guys was doing. And you guys was asking Fred whether or not he was comfortable with the offense this year than last year. Last year and this year. I'm more comfortable with the offense now because the kid Dobson. I mean, for what I'm looking at, for what my eyes can see, that Dobson kid looked like a little Vincent Jackson to me. And the other kid, the voice kid, with his speed, he looks like, they were saying, he looks like an Anquan Boldin. So I think they addressed those needs automatically. And to me, for what my eyes are seeing, to me, that's better than what we had last year with Branch and Lloyd. And, I think you guys was alluding to last week that Tom Brady always have trouble with wide receivers that don't understand the playbook, whatever the case may be.
Yeah.
And my opinion, and I always say, yeah, that playbook going to get you against the bad defenses. Because, like I tell people all the time, Deion Branch, he knew the playbook inside out, and he wasn't getting open. I mean, knowing the playbook, to me, going to get you against the bad defenses, you're going to look good. But when you're playing against better people, better competition, you need to have some ability. If you look at the Super Bowl with Anquan Boldin or whatever like that, if you look at that, it wasn't really no playbook like him knowing the playbook where he was where he made plays, because he was better than, because the corner played him well, and he still made a play, and that wasn't scripted or nothing. It's just those type of plays that make you win games. So I think we did a good job. And besides the safety, that's a question mark. I think we did a good job. So I can't really complain. And another thing, right, Paul, you just alluded to this TJ Moe. You don't like him, Paul?
No, I think they have a lot of sort of slot options. And no, I was not overly impressed with him.
Well, I looked at the YouTube tape. I went on YouTube and I checked out tape. Yo, he looks like a Wes Welker, but faster to me. I mean,
yeah, I'm not really interested. Exactly, I agree with you.
You're not interested.
Exactly. They have about three of them already.
Not sure he's faster either. Didn't he run like a 4.8 40?
Yeah, I mean, if you were looking for that guy, it would have been Ryan Swope to me, who actually is, he's legitimately fast. I just, they gave $31 million to Danny Amendola. They brought back Julian Edelman. I'm not sure how many more guys like that you
need.
I
also think Boyce is a slot type guy. I don't really agree with the Boldin comparison. I think he's
with Boyce or Dobson?
With Boyce. I think he's skinny. I think he runs a 4.3 40. I mean, Anquan Boldin could run it twice and wouldn't run a 4.3. I mean,
to me, there's no comparison between Boyce and Boldin.
I think if you're trying to make a comparison for Boyce, it's more of like a Victor Cruz, a big play type slot guy
who has the ability to get downfield. Yeah.
I think that's what Boyce is. I'd like to see him on the outside. I'd like to see him have a chance to win a job on the outside. But even in the slot, I think he has a chance to break plays and make some big plays.
Anything else, Tyrone?
Yeah, well, no, not really. But I was just saying that.
All right, then.
You know, if they did due diligence, I like the free agent. I like the undrafted free agent to me. But we'll see what happens. You guys take it easy.
All right. Hey, Tyrone. Thanks for the call, Tyrone. Appreciate it. All right. Email is webradiopatriots.com, 508-298-0398, the ACE ticket hotline. Call us. Email us. We'll be right back.
What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, better banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, and online banking with bill pay, along with the flexible options you need to help make your everyday a little easier to manage. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call better banking. Sovereign Bank, member FDIC.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. Now's the time to take advantage of our low price value games. Whether it's the Boston Bruins, Boston Celtics, or Boston Red Sox, Ace has the tickets you need, starting at just $19. Ace always has the best seats at the best prices, and all our tickets come with a 200% money back guarantee. Ace has free and easy pickup by Fenway Park or across from the Garden. So treat yourself for someone special. Visit aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS. 1-800-MY-SEATS. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochet. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Story Time every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Like so many soldiers returning home from combat, adjusting to life as a civilian hasn't been easy for retired Army Staff Sergeant Ben Dellinger.
The hardest part was getting out. You don't lose your friends, but like basically all those people get taken away from you all at once. It felt like my life was over at times. Everything I thought I was totally different.
American heroes like Ben face many challenges when they return home. That's why, for more than 90 years, Bank of America has partnered with military organizations to support jobs, housing, and critical needs of veterans and their families. We're also committed to recruiting and hiring veterans, reservists, and military spouses. And for Ben, we partnered with Military Warrior Support Foundation to award his family a mortgage-free home.
This is something I never expected to happen, and I'm truly grateful to each and every person involved.
To find out more about Bank of America's efforts, visit bankofamerica.com/military support. 2013 Bank of America Corporation. Bank of America, N.A. member FDIC.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected. The Patriots Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, autographed memorabilia, and much more, including our new game-worn gear collection, where you can own a piece of authentic Patriots history. The Patriots Pro Shop, located next to Gillette Stadium, is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at patriotsproshop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop, your team, your store. Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit patriots.com/the list to join today.
Presented by Raytheon. And now, great moments in PFW in progress history.
Have you ever had a lobster piss?
I have not.
You don't know from soup then if you haven't had one.
You don't know from soup.
You don't know from
is it a soup?
Every once in a while it turns into that 1955 character.
Lobster bisque.
Then why isn't it called lobster soup?
You have a good lobster biscuit just
because is a stew a soup or is
no
it a stew?
No soup for you. It's like sex for your
is
throat.
Is a chowder a soup? Eric already has sex for his brother.
Fred, why do you do this?
I had nothing to do with you.
Yes, you did.
That's another great moment from PFW in progress.
No great Fred moments today on the show because there's no Fred on the show today.
Yeah, it's already
he bailed on us.
You can tell too. It's lacking. There's nothing here today. We're all just sort of giving our opinions, and there's no friction. We need Fred.
Not yet. Not yet. There was almost some friction between Andy and some guy in Dartmouth the other day, though. Did you track that dude down? The dude that you were going to kill the other day because he drove past the school bus.
Oh, the guy passed a freaking school bus with a stop sign out.
That was a perfect setup for you.
I missed it.
What are you talking about?
Come on.
I was out there on the stakeout this morning, though. You know, I'm taking
so what
my
happened?
Cues from Cadillac fighter Fred Gersh.
When was this and what happened?
It was yesterday. He passed the bus when a bus stopped. I was waiting for my son to cross the street to get on the bus. And just as we were about to step out into the street, the guy just gunned it and passed the bus with the red lights flashing and the stop sign.
So you almost got run over.
Yeah, not super close, but yeah. It's very dangerous. Very serious deals. A kid got hit in Dartmouth like a year and a half ago. Somebody did that. I'm waiting for him.
Do you got a plate number?
So if you but I'm going to get it. If you have that grayish tan Nissan Altima, I'm coming for you.
What did the guy look like?
He was a dark-skinned male.
You got friends on the force, don't you?
Oh, and I've already talked to them.
Have you?
They said, get the license plate. We'll investigate.
That is ridiculous.
We'll go visit
in all
his
seriousness.
House.
Driving by a school bus.
As I said, I've been late. I've done, I've speeded, sped, whatever the hell you say it. Mm. I've, done past people, whatever. Mm-hmm. But this crosses the line between you're in a hurry and you're taking some chances to flat out, somebody easily.
And most of the time when you're behind a school bus, too, if you're making the stops with the bus, generally the bus, when they put the stop sign back in, they sort of wave
they let you
go
past
to
get you
she
by.
She pulled over the stop before and he didn't pass.
So that's just...
So he's a dink.
That's just poor to me.
Yeah, well, and I've been holding a tennis ball, too, because if he's driving too fast and I can't read the plate, I'm going to throw the tennis ball at the car to try to get him to stop.
Then what are you going to do?
Yeah, read
his license plate.
Then it's on.
Well, that's fine, too.
Well, that's what he wants. He wants
that's
it,
fine,
he
too.
He wants it to be on.
Andy could use a good ass kicking.
So we started off at the top talking about the draft recap. We've got the undrafted rookies that reportedly have signed. We also mentioned the Jason Collins story. Pretty historic event yesterday. Jason Collins, former Celtic, has been on several NBA teams, has become the first current or active player in one of the major sports here in the U.S. to announce...
Semi-active.
Well,
okay. He is technically active.
Yeah.
He finished the season on a roster, and now he's a free agent, so he might not be in the league
next year. Yeah, he's 34 years old, yeah. So he's getting on in years.
And he's a journeyman. He averaged 3.6 points a game in 12 years, so mm-hmm. It's not
a
like...
A cynic might think that he did this to guarantee a job next year because he knows the NBA will jump on board and doesn't want to look as blackballing the gay guy. A cynic, I'm just saying.
Andy would be that cynic. Now, Andy, has he guaranteed himself a job?
Yes. Yeah. I guarantee you he'll be in the league next year.
I think he has too. I think David Stern would sooner forfeit all his power rather than allow him to not be in the league next year.
Okay, so if we're going to go here, can I ask a serious question that you're going to think is me being stupid, Andy?
Well, I usually think that anyway.
But yeah, go ahead.
Insensitive, Andy, would be probably...
EEI was talking about this yesterday, and a guy called up and was full on, it's a choice, it's disgusting, it's this, it's that.
I heard
that.
A guy this morning say the same thing.
A caller?
Yeah. Now, by the disgusting part, I'm assuming he means, like, the actual being gay, the way you consummate being a gay male.
The act of having sex.
Well, yeah. Anal. How is it that anal sex can be so disgusting when it's a man and a man, but it's the coolest thing in the world for Howard Stern? Every woman. Do you do anal? Like, it's the coolest thing if a woman does anal
for
a man.
But maybe this guy that called up... doesn't consider
it. No, but I'm saying in general. Cool. I think a lot of people, one of the hang-ups or whatever is like the gay sex. It's like, ew. It seems like it's the coolest thing in the world when you get some girl to do it. So a girl's butt is better than a boy's butt?
I don't know what to tell you.
Isn't it just a butt?
Butt has no gender? Is that what you're saying?
Basically, the gender is not the butthole. The butthole is used for, two things, I guess, technically. Well, but
primarily one.
Primarily one.
Function.
And in the same way.
Not for me, it ain't.
It's egress, not ingress.
Right.
Exit only.
That's always bothered me. Because literally, every time Fred puts on Howard Stern, when he tries to tell me that Howard Stern's great and cool, it's about asking some woman, does she do anal, or something about penis and poop and stuff. And I've never understood how the exact same thing can be treated so differently. It's weird to me.
Okay.
I heard...
Anyway, I do think that went pretty well for Jason Collins yesterday, wouldn't you think?
Oh, yeah.
It was well-written, even though I thought he came
Sports
off as...
Sports Illustrated.
He wrote a DB.
He's an extremely bright guy. Now,
but
I think you might
throughout
be...
it, I thought he was kind of a DB. Everybody plays the parlor game.
This was in the latest issue of Sports Illustrated.
Right,
he's on the cover, and he wrote an essay.
Cover story. Interesting. Ironic.
See what you did there.
Anyway.
I heard...
I give him a lot of credit. Even though he's not like this big major star, it still can't be an easy thing to do.
No.
And I'm glad he did it. And I hope there's more that follow because I have no doubt that there are many, many more.
But in this day and age, I mean, he's kind of late to the party.
It's getting easier and easier.
All these high school kids have been doing it left and right. You read about it all the time. You know, a bunch of like valedictorians doing their speeches and in their high school speech. Don't tell me that's easier than Jason Collins, who's been a 12-time millionaire in the NBA and can have security if he wants, can live in any high. I mean, these kids half they're part of culture. They're part of society where they could easily get bullied, beat up, hazed, anything. He is far more protected and insulated from anything.
Sure.
You know, yeah, he'll get more criticism on Twitter because he's famous.
Mm-hmm.
But that's irrelevant. I mean, if you let that bother you, then you should never consider coming out. I'm talking about actual, you're in the drive-up at McDonald's and somebody throws something at you, or like, I mean, day-to-day problems
right.
that these kids could have. So to me, it's a less courageous act for him to do it than a lot of these kids that have been doing in high school.
There was word earlier this offseason that there were four current yes. NFL yeah. players who
Brendan
Iambidejo,
the formerly of the Ravens,
yep.
has come out and said he's been a huge advocate for gay rights,
mm-hmm.
and he is basically maintaining that there are as many as four players that are ready to do it.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't seen it. This was a couple of months ago.
I see what you did there.
No, actually, I wasn't doing that,
Andy.
In any way, shape, or form. And you're the only person that heard that phrase and thought what you thought.
Well, I have
congratulations.
To be consistent, though. I owe it to the gay community to be consistent. If he said that about three women, or
okay,
I would
sure.
laugh. So
right.
I have to be consistent.
Fair point by you.
So anyway, we haven't seen.
I guess
we haven't seen anything from that since. That was earlier in the off season. But
and I wonder if this announcement by Collins will maybe either spur them to do it sooner or maybe not at all. Now.
Right. Now, what's the point? We're not going to be first. Let's wait and see how this one blows over.
Yeah. I wonder what that'll do, honestly.
But it's great.
I heard, I think, what's her name from USA Today columnist? Christine
Brennan.
Brennan. Yes. She was on
Insufferable
television Monday. Yesterday talking about this and saying that the name Jason Collins is now going to go down in sports history the way Jackie Robinson did to break the color barrier and the way Billie Jean King did to help advance women's rights and, you know, women's issues in sports.
Will it
she
really?
She thinks that Jason Collins will now have the same
it.
Effect.
I don't either.
And that his name will ring down through the ages the way they are, those other
enough.
Two have.
He's not good enough. I think that's has to be part of it.
That's a good point, too,
the
because
first superstar
Jackie Robinson was a great player.
Right.
Well, Billie Jean King was a great tennis player.
Well, I also think
Jason Collins,
both of those individuals did more off the field, off the court
yeah.
in terms of their endeavors. And we'll see. Maybe Jason Collins will become that. And I think Jason Collins is an interesting guy to be the leader in this because of I do think he's a very well-rounded individual who has a lot more than just basketball. I think he's going to need to be a little bit more on different platforms than just as a journeyman NBA player. Like Andy said, 12 years and six teams averaging 3 points a game. I'm not sure that he's that poster child that quote-unquote, the movement needs.
If he hadn't played for the Celtics, would either of you guys have recognized the name?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God, yeah.
Okay. He had he was one of twins that
That's
were
That's kind of why I'd recognize
huge him. For Stanford.
Right.
Yeah. He had great.
I kind of lost
yeah.
the idea of him in my head. He was still a Stanford twin in my head.
Well, I'll give you the example is his twin hasn't been in the league. He wasn't in the league this year. I didn't know that. Jaron, he had played a lot of years for Utah and some other teams. I didn't realize that he was no longer playing.
And he didn't realize his brother was gay.
Yeah, until last year.
Which I found interesting. He was telling, the aunt said, I've known that for years, baby. And the brother was, surprised.
Hmm.
Who, supposedly.
And he said something like so much for twin telepathy.
Intuition, right, yeah.
Well, another.
I also, one last thing.
Mm-hmm.
This was obviously a huge news story yesterday. You know how I know that. Because it was the Anderson Cooper topic, and that's generally the big news story of whether he's had a tragedy or this or that. And he had Barkley and Kenny Smith on last night. And Barkley, the number of times he said, I mean, we've all played with gay players in the locker room. We all knew it. So, that's another part of it, too. The people that's supposedly going to have the problem with it already know.
Right.
Charles Barkley hasn't played for how long? 10 years? And he definitely, so at least 15 years ago, he was playing with a guy he knew to be gay.
Yep.
Well, I mean, did the NBA spin off its axis? Were there all these hate crimes in the NBA?
At least one, probably, because he played for several teams.
Right.
Too.
So, and the way he made it flippantly sound like,
and there's no doubt they all know. And we have a guy here that works in our media relations department, and he's worked for several teams. I'm not going to get into the specific teams, but he's worked for several different teams, and they had a gay player on one of the teams that he worked on, and they had a whole plan of attack for if this became public. But obviously, all the players knew. And the people
right.
inside the organization knew.
And
so
at least a portion of the community knew.
It's not that big a deal.
If he's living a life as a gay player, then he's living that life. He's, you know, going to gay bars or whatever. He's in some level, and I know they insulate themselves and there's a certain, you know,
right
strength mm-hmm. in that unity, but
so, what's the old there's a cliche line about homosexuality. If you're standing with 10 guys and you don't know who the gay guy is, you're the gay guy.
Right.
You know, so let's face it. I mean, this is not as bad as it, you know, in terms of the stigma as it once was. And listen, that's a good thing. We still have a long way to go.
Sure.
And hopefully we get mm-hmm. there. And hopefully we don't have to worry about a guy doesn't have to worry about coming out.
Right.
And he could just sort of be whoever he is. Like Andy said, these high school kids now.
Well, yeah. I mean, you might have
valedictorians and great athletes and all walks of life, everywhere in between. It'd be great if you could just be gay and not have to make an announcement about
it. There might be a time in the next, you know, 5-10 years where a pro athlete won't have to make the announcement because he will have done so in high school. And he will have gone through his college career as being,
you know
what I mean?
Like,
there might be a player like that already.
Like you just grow up
in high school
ranks. And I don't know about you guys, but I had kids when I was growing up. I had friends and we sort of kind of thought, nah, it's a little different, you know, when we're young. And then, you know, all of a sudden you get a little bit older to understand some of those things. And sure enough, you get to, you know, college age and you hear about so-and-so. Yeah, you went off that and he came back and he was, you know, everybody knew. That can just be the way it is. Like, you don't
right.
have to have this big ceremony and have the high school kid get up there and make the big announcement. Like, everybody just, oh, that's Joe. Well, yeah, he's gay. What big deal? Everybody knows him. He's still Joe. And I know I'm being a little bit utopian here. I mean, it's not going to be that easy, but it'd be nice someday if we could kind of move to that and not have to have a press conference, you know, and
mm-hmm.
make a big deal out of it and have Christine Brennan tell us all about our moral compass.
And the other thing that bothers me a little bit is everybody says it's a choice. I don't believe the whole choice thing. That's the argument. It's a choice.
Not a choice.
The question I have about choices is,
why would you choose to live your life as difficult as possible?
Well, whatever. Beyond
that. These poor people are tortured.
What about the bisexual people? That I don't get. Like, I'm all fine. Like, you're gay. You like men. You realized at a young age you didn't like women, you like men. Well, what about the, like, didn't want to, wasn't there a celebrity who was the recent celebrity? Didn't one of, what's her name?
Who?
Ellen.
Ellen DeGeneres.
Didn't one of her significant others, like
Anne Heche,
go back to being straight?
Yes, Anne Heche is
like that. I find weird. That I say, well, which are you?
Well, why can't it be possible for?
Well, because then
them
it feels like a
both.
Choice, especially if. Now, I'm just envisioning a future where, okay, everybody's accepted gay people. You like guys, you like girls. And then, well, this week, do you like guys or do you like girls?
Well, what if they like having more than one at once?
I don't know. I'm just confused.
That's not necessarily a choice.
Wait, what?
to like both. Some people might be attracted to both, and that's not a choice. That's just they have that natural attraction. It's possible.
That's the next hurdle to clear.
Okay. There's also the other hurdle, which is the people who don't think as open-mindedly as we do on this show.
And you know me. I mean, I'm always
Can you imagine Andy and Paul just got considered open-minded?
Well, on this topic, yes.
I didn't think I wasn't. I mean, you listened yesterday, and people that are willing to call a radio station and just spout off.
I can't
off,
believe some of the things that people say.
I'm not surprised people have those views, but to have the...
To be able to call up in a
so
public forum and
to
say
call
it.
Up and say it.
I heard a guy with the whole choice thing today in the Bible, and of course leaving out all the other stuff in the Bible about
Bible
you know about your slaves and other things that you know you wouldn't even dream about saying in the 21st century. It's really kind of sad that people would fall back on something like religion as their final say on something
but
like this.
It's what's just, been done for hundreds and thousands.
I know, but
years.
You would think that you'd use some logic to it and read the entire Bible and not just the one line in Leviticus that everybody sort of points to when it comes to this topic.
Better off
and
like
read
me,
and
just don't
and
read any of it.
And read well, no, you read the Bible, but you also read the books that were left out of the Bible. Because let's remember, the Bible was a collection of different books that a group of church leaders decided which was going to be in and which wasn't going to be in. There's a whole stack, there's a book of about 700 words that I have of all they're called the Gnostic Gospels, all the scriptures that were left out of the Bible according to these handful of men in the
Council
of Nicaea who decided, oh, this is what the Bible is going to be.
I'm by no means a religious person, but, you know, I did grow up Catholic, and I did go to, you know, Sunday school, or what they called CCD.
I did get molested for a few years.
Oh, see, no,
stop.
See, that's really poor to me. But anyway, I went through Sunday school all the way through. I had received communion and confirmation and went all the way through, to what, the 10th grade, I think, is when you received confirmation.
Yeah,
this is in the 70s. So it's not like it's some like modern politically correct curriculum this was in the dark ages of this stuff. Never once did I hear any of my instructors or did we ever read anything in the Bible or any of the gospels, according to any of the four gospels, say anything about how much of a sin homosexuality is. Never once did anybody talk about this as being something that we should be discouraged from. And I had all kinds of friends that went to Catholic schools growing up. Never once did any of them hear all this stuff. It's only as an adult that now I go back. And like I said, it's not like it was, 2001 that I was having these classes. And, well, the age of political correctness was in full flight, I think if there was something that was so universally frowned upon in the church, I think that more people would talk about it than just the outlying sort of radicals.
Well, like I said, there are still people who might be taking a closed-minded view of the whole topic. Another email we've got here from Scandinavia. Fred from Copenhagen says, "Hey, guys, great work as always. The off-season will be unbearable without PFW. It said we were interested in Mike Wallace for a while, but I'm relieved we never signed that douche after his tweet about Jason Collins. Two things. One, why come out with such stupid comments? Two, why on Twitter when you know millions can see them? I hope we can just come to treat guys like Jason Collins as the regular kind and guys like Wallace as the freaks / outsiders. Your thoughts?"
I think he was just being stupid.
Now, let's recap what the tweet was that...
Basically, with all these hot women around... Dudes interested in other dudes, shake my head or something. I think he was just being silly, I think
was he joking? You think it was a joke, or do you think that's how he really feels?
No, well, because
I'm sure there are athletes.
I don't know.
Oh, I think that's probably how he really feels, but I don't think that's any animosity toward Jason Collins.
Right.
I think he probably looks at it as, I'm heterosexual. I can't see how a man can look at other men and be attracted. That's probably how he really feels, but I'm with Andy. Here's the thing. If you really want to get where you want to go, that comment that Mike Wallace said shouldn't bother anybody. Shouldn't even make a ripple. That's where you want to go. Is you want him, Jason Collins, to be treated just like everybody else. I remember being in the locker room and everything was in bounds. Mm-hmm. Everything was fair game in a locker room. You said things to people that you would never say to someone that wasn't your teammate. And you had things said to you or about you that you would have been fighting with anybody if it was in another environment. This needs to be the same thing. He needs to be able, and I'm not speaking for Jason Collins, but I think you need to be able to sort of roll with the punches. And we were all called names. As on every team that we were on, we were all made fun of for whatever.
A lot of nicknames.
Absolutely.
And
just because you were heterosexual doesn't mean that it shouldn't have offended you. But if you are homosexual, now all of a sudden you have to fight the guy. And I think that's where you need to go. The Mike Wallace thing to me is a lot different than the religious zealots and the other people that are just talking about choice and how and just flat out hatred. Hatred.
Yeah.
I mean, like Tim Hardaway said in the past, now he's sort of changed his tune, that I hate gay people. I mean, how ridiculous is that?
And how do you hate gay people and then not hate gay people?
Because you realize it probably wasn't good
so
for
you
your post-playing career.
You're only pretending you don't.
That, to me, is damaging. That needs to be eradicated.
I just had a vision of Andy as a youth playing sports. And he's on a team, and he finds out it's Andy in today's day and age where the high school kids are coming out and saying that they're gay and announcing. So Andy's on a team with a player who announces that he's gay. And so Andy decides, all right, I'm going to treat him like everybody else. And when he makes a bad swinging motion or something, Andy, instead of saying what Andy normally says with it, doesn't that make you gay? He's going to say, hey, that's really straight of you, isn't it?
You look like a heterosexual on that one.
I could see Andy making like gay jokes, anti-homosexual slurs, and then saying, "What? I'm trying to advance the cause."
Exactly. Right. Well, Dwight from Alabama has been patiently hanging on the Ace Ticket hotline. Let's go to him now. What's up, Dwight?
Hi, guys. How are you?
Good.
What's up?
What's on your mind?
Roll Tide.
Roll Tide.
Shut up, Andy. The draft was okay. I didn't necessarily like some of the picks, but the one that
got me to really like most of what the Patriots have done so far in the draft is Jamie Collins.
Yep.
And Boyce out of TCU. I was watching
the two athletes.
Yeah.
I'm with you.
Me too.
And Boyce on tape looks amazing. He doesn't look like his 40 times when he runs, but maybe he'll show us in the OTAs and all that stuff. And Jamie Collins seems like could be a Pro Bowl passer. Could be. But we'll have to see where it goes.
I agree with you on Boyce. And there was one play in particular where I really liked it. It was a bomb where he was wide open. The quarterback underthrew him. He came back to get the ball. And when he's coming back towards the line of scrimmage, there's like two or three DBs running at him full speed. So they have a head start. And he turns and still pulls away from them. And
it was against West Virginia. Yeah,
and I think that's phenomenal because they should have tracked him down. And I think you're right. He's not going to make me forget Bethel Johnson as the fastest Patriot I ever saw, but there's a lot of guys that are very productive that don't reach that level. You know, we had a guy in this studio, Mr. 429 or 419 or whatever the hell he said he ran, Dante Stallworth. I never saw him come close to running that on a football field.
Yeah.
I never saw him be that electric in a Patriots uniform 2007, 2012, whatever. So you can be productive. You can get behind people. You can make plays at 4-4, 4-4-5, whatever you play at. And I think Boyce is fast enough football-wise to get behind people and make plays.
True. Very true. One of the few times I agree with you, Andy, but very true.
You should always agree with me. I'm right.
Not necessarily.
All right, what do you want to fight about? What do you want to fight
about? Yeah, fight him.
So far we've agreed about the draft. We've agreed about Boyce. What do you want to fight about?
Nothing that you're sure.
Are you worried about Rob Gronkowski? He was down in the Alabama area.
No.
Did you see the photos of him drinking Bud Light Platinum over the weekend?
Thought that was at K-State.
K-State.
No.
It's closer to there than here.
Well, and I remember the last time I called you, you said that there aren't a lot of – I'm one of the few A-holes that are not in Alabama. We have a lot of non-A-holes in Alabama. Just that they don't talk. They have no teeth, and they don't support you to drink tea out there.
But I was just bringing that up because that was one of the topics we hadn't broached yet. Was Rob Gronkowski, if people don't know, was at the Kansas State spring game where his brother is
Little
a redshirt freshman.
There. Yep.
And there were plenty of photos, as always, because Gronk is Gronk. And some of them showed him drinking and partying it up with some young co-eds, some cuties. And I have
no problem with what Gronk does in all season. The only thing I worry about Gronk is the production on the field. Other than that, I don't care what he does during the offseason.
Well,
as long as he gets his yards and he's healthy and he does what he's supposed to do, have fun every now and then, I don't care what he does.
Well, I think everybody would agree with you. The problem is with this whole infection thing and antibiotics and recovery and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Are those two things kind of connecting and could it hurt him? And
he's not helping
not
himself PR-wise.
Certainly not, but I don't think he gives a rat's ass. Part of
the
likable nature of him is he doesn't care. He wants to live the Gronk life.
But people are just wondering if his PR image, if there's some cause for concern behind the PR problem because maybe it's impacting his recovery somehow. I think that's a legitimate concern that people might have.
Sure.
Anything else, Dwight?
Hal Hernandez.
Haven't seen him.
Haven't seen or heard from him.
The reports were, 4 months potentially? And it could certainly limit his offseason in terms of OTAs and camps. And I won't be stunned using that number if he starts on PUP and then is a late arrival to training camp.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. When do tickets go on sale for the season? Do y'all know or have any idea?
No idea.
I don't think
a Fred question.
Don't know if that's been – that hasn't been announced yet, has it?
I'm sure Fred knows. Fred knows everything.
Because the schedule only just came out like a week or so ago, so –
I'll tell
not
you
sure yet, but stay tuned. We'll have the announcement when it happens.
All right. Well, thank you guys for taking my call. Andy, stay small. Bye.
Roll Tide.
Oh, Roll Tide. All right, before we take a quick break, because lunch has arrived and Paul has already started digging in, let's take one more email from the Scandinavia region. Our girl, Michelle from Stockholm.
Ta-ta.
Intriguing draft. Curious about Dobson. Seems to have excellent hands, strong and physical. I watched his highlight reel, and to me it looks like he struggles with separation. What do you think? Also saw that he's a waiver. Hey, look at me, I'm open, a.k.a. the Randy Moss wave. Must be something that they teach at Marshall. And I'm ever glad that Mike Wallace isn't on our team, ignorant Got a new face. He's a douche nozzle. Sad that I missed your draft preview, but I listened to it after the fact, and it was still good. Well, thanks, Michelle.
Thanks, girl.
All right. 508-298-0398, the Ace Ticket Hotline, web radio at patriots.com. More of your emails and calls after this.
What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, better banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, and online banking with bill pay, along with the flexible options you need to help make your everyday a little easier to manage. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call better banking. Sovereign Bank, member FDIC.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. Now's the time to take advantage of our low price value games. Whether it's the Boston Bruins, Boston Celtics, or Boston Red Sox, Ace has the ticket you need, starting at just $19. Ace always has the best seats at the best prices, and all our tickets come with a 200% money back guarantee. Ace has free and easy pickup by Fenway Park or across from the Garden. So treat yourself or someone special. Visit aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop. Dine. Enjoy.
Like so many soldiers returning home from combat, adjusting to life as a civilian hasn't been easy for retired Army Staff Sergeant Ben Dellinger.
The hardest part was getting out. You don't lose your friends, but, like, basically all those people get taken away from you all at once. It felt like my life was over at times. Everything I thought I was totally different.
American heroes like Ben face many challenges when they return home. That's why, for more than 90 years, Bank of America has partnered with military organizations to support jobs, housing, and critical needs of veterans and their families. We're also committed to recruiting and hiring veterans, reservists, and military spouses. And for Ben, we partnered with Military Warrior Support Foundation to award his family a mortgage-free home.
This is something I never expected to happen, and I'm truly grateful to each and every person involved.
To find out more about Bank of America's efforts, visit bankofamerica.com/military support. 2013 Bank of America Corporation. Bank of America, N.A. member FDIC.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
The Patriots Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, autographed memorabilia, and much more, including our new game-worn gear collection, where you can own a piece of authentic Patriots history. The Patriots Pro Shop, located next to Gillette Stadium, is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at patriotsproshop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop, your team, your store.
Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit patriots.com/the list to join today.
We'll be right back.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. Now's the time to take advantage of our low price value games. Whether it's the Boston Bruins, Boston Celtics, or Boston Red Sox, Ace has the tickets you need, starting at just $19. Ace always has the best seats at the best prices. And all our tickets come with a 200% money-back guarantee. Ace has free and easy pickup by Fenway Park or across from the Garden. So treat yourself or someone special. Visit aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Verizon Fios is America's fastest internet. How fast is that? Faster than Patriots linebacker Gerard Mayo can take down a quarterback, a running back, tight end, or an offensive lineman who just got in the way. In fact, Verizon Fios internet is more than twice as fast as anything you've ever seen. And that means Patriots scores, videos, highlights, and more right when you want them. Fios is built to support multiple devices simultaneously with a constant stream of your favorite Patriots content. And that means you get Gerard Mayo's sacks at Gerard Mayo's speed.
Now that's fast.
Welcome to a world of football where and when you want it. Welcome to Life on Fios, proud sponsor of the New England Patriots. Fios available in select areas. Internet speeds up to 300 down and 65 up megabits per second available.
Like so many soldiers returning home from combat, adjusting to life as a civilian hasn't been easy for retired Army Staff Sergeant Ben Dellinger.
The hardest part was getting out. You don't lose your friends, but like basically all those people get taken away from you all at once. It felt like my life was over at times. Everything I thought I was totally different.
American heroes like Ben face many challenges when they return home. That's why, for more than 90 years, Bank of America has partnered with military organizations to support jobs, housing, and critical needs of veterans and their families. We're also committed to recruiting and hiring veterans, reservists, and military spouses. And for Ben, we partnered with Military Warrior Support Foundation to award his family a mortgage-free home.
This is something I never expected to happen, and I'm truly grateful to each and every person involved.
To find out more about Bank of America's efforts, visit bankofamerica.com/military support. 2013 Bank of America Corporation. Bank of America, N.A. member FDIC.
And now, great moments in PFW in progress history.
If anyone has used the contraption called the Nut Wizard, I need to know that.
Excuse me?
Yeah, it's called the Nut Wizard. I think you can find it at nutwizard.com. It's not what you think. It's for picking up, like, acorns in your yard. I have a ton of acorns, so I'm looking for the best way to pick up acorns in my yard without breaking my back, you know? So I saw this thing. It's like a cage with spokes, and you roll it, and supposedly it just picks up the acorns. But I want to, before I, it's like $49.
It's so ridiculous.
I don't want to buy it, you know, if it only works half the time or whatever. Or if someone has a better way to pick up acorns.
That's another great moment from PFW in progress.
We're talking about the Patriots draft, which just concluded a couple days ago. We're talking about the Jason Collins story. It's been big news so far this week. We're also talking about Tim Tebow.
No one.
That's right. Oh, yeah, we're about to.
Warm it up, Chris.
As our friend Mary Beth tweeted at us, Andy, and wanted to know how come we're not talking about the topic yet. And Marty from Belfast, one of your favorites, writes in, first off, I'd like to thank you guys for providing us with some great shows over the draft. Being in the UK, it's not always easy to follow it, and you guys certainly make it easy and enjoyable. The three-door situation, while confusing, was absolutely hilarious. Only on PFW could this topic become a laugh. My question to you guys is a worrying one, but here goes. What percentage chance is there that Bill gives our savior, Tim Tebow, a shot at making this roster? I know Andy would absolutely love this move. Thanks again, guys, for the invaluable service you provide us outside the U.S. And don't worry, Eric, whatever people say, it takes all of you to make the show what it is. Believe me, Marty, I'm not worried.
Why don't you read some more of those emails?
P.S. Andy, very knowledgeable and while childish at times, but still the man.
Yeah.
Paul, zero to hot more often than not. That's why you rock. Eric, also knows his stuff, and I think behind the pompousness is a nice guy. You got that right. And Fred, not here, the anchor that holds you all together and tremendous homer. What more do you need on Tuesdays and Thursdays?
That's the only part of that email I agreed with.
Hashtag Boston Strong from Marty. So you agree with that, too?
Obviously.
So Tebow, 29%.
I do think there's a chance. I mean, I don't know how you can talk about
Remember how often Bill used to say when the whole Wildcat thing, and then when a guy can throw out of it like Tebow and what he's doing at Florida, blah, 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 and then the whole North End dinner, and then McDaniels takes him in the first round, and even just, and I wrote this on the blog, even for McDaniels just to save face and help resurrect his career and see he wasn't such a bust. If you used him right or whatever, he could be valuable. I do think there's a chance. Not going, you know, up near 50 or lock, but, you know, they got rid of Tony Fiametta. The one problem is...
That's right. We were talking about this earlier.
Is his whole insistence that he's a quarterback. If he doesn't want to be a slash, 0.0 is the chance.
And I know you're trying to make the case for him in terms of what they might be thinking. No, but not necessarily what you believe, but what you think they could be thinking. And I'm not attacking that. But what's changed from all of those things that you mentioned, Bill in the North End with Tim Tebow, Josh McDaniels taking him in the first round, is he's had 3 years now to prove that he can't throw. And I think
that's
the whole,
why he needs to be a slap.
The whole Wildcat thing with a guy who can throw, I don't think he can throw.
I agree. But that's why he needs to be willing to do other stuff. Like, legitimately, I don't know what his weight is listed at. It looks to me like he's put on about 15 pounds in the last year and a half, 2 years.
He's probably like, what, 250?
Unless he's just buying smaller T-shirts. And that could be. Maybe the jockey gives him, like, medium shirts.
I know we're going to get back to just attacking the poor man's character. But
if he's, you know, and there was the report from Adam Schefter that he was given the permission to seek a trade. Teams asked, would you play tight end? He said no. If he has any sort of no at all, then he's not coming here. If he's right. willing to come here, cover kicks, be a fullback, be an H-back, be a whatever, then I think maybe there's a chance.
Yeah, and that's the biggest reason why I don't want any part of this. It's got nothing to do with the circus and the sideshow that it becomes. And by the way, it will become that even in New England. There's going to be constant attention on it. To me, it's all about what you have, and that's Tom Brady. Eric and I got into a little bit of a discussion about this yesterday when we were talking about it, and Eric rightly brought up the game against the Jets here in Foxborough that the Jets lost in overtime, and there was a series early in the I think it was probably in the first half, right in our end when we're in the we're in the press box, right in the end zone in our end. They had a second and goal from inside the five, no Tebow. I ripped the Jets for it, and I agree with it now. But the difference is no Tebow when Mark Sanchez is on the field as opposed to no Tebow when Tom Brady's on the field. That, to me, changes the dynamic. The Patriots do not have trouble, as a rule, in the red zone. Well, they didn't last year. They did not have trouble converting third downs, and they certainly do not have trouble scoring points. The Jets have problems with all of those things, and the large reason for that is Mark Sanchez. So I have no problem if you want to mix him in as a change of pace, doing all the things that Andy said. I totally agree with. I don't want to necessarily worry about doing those things at the expense of Tom Brady.
But the opposite is true as well. If you put Tim Tebow on the field, whether it's with Tom Brady or take Tom Brady off the field, there will be 0.0 controversy. If you do it to Mark Sanchez, we know how soft he is. He's a puddle of goo. And in the New York media, you could be creating your own controversy that you're trying to avoid. So I actually think it opens up the opportunity to do that more so if you want to. Whereas I think in New York, they realized they gave him the money, Sanchez, and if they put Tebow on the field and he punches it in and then he throws one, all of a sudden, well, he shouldn't just be in the red zone. He should be in all the time. He's the best quarterback on this team. They didn't want that circus. So you can look at it both ways.
I do.
Skill-wise,
I get it.
Skill-wise, clearly you'd rather have Brady than Tebow on the field or Brady than Sanchez. But controversy-wise, you can take Brady off for a play, and the only person that's going to pout about it probably is Tom Brady.
Yeah, the ironic part...
I do think he would pout.
The ironic part of this whole thing...
Well, you can.
Yeah, but one of them is not going to do something. So, you know, you still have the potential for Brady to pout. If you're putting Tebow on the field and strictly as a decoy, then why bother? And if you're putting him on the field with Tom Brady and he's going to do something, then Tom Brady's still going to pout, even though he's not on the field. But the ironic part to me about this whole thing is Andy despises Tebow the person. I don't. I think the guy's genuine. I think he's, you know, is he perfect? No. Is he the guy that they portray in the media? No.
Obviously.
No one can live up to that. But where we sort of completely change sides is the football player. I don't think he offers a whole lot. I think it's telling that the Montreal Alouettes are inviting him to come and be the backup.
Well, it's Canadian football a little bit different.
It's a spread-out passing league.
Yeah.
He's not a passer. And
but he'd be expected to run a lot more.
You have
a
quarterback. I mean, you don't want to just immediately throw it out there in case Tebow never comes. Now you've sort of alienated your starting quarterback you've had for a couple
of years. I understand that, but if he was that good,
he's not. If he was that good, he wouldn't be going to Canada.
I don't think he can play. I don't think he can play the position. Let's put it that way.
No one does. I mean, I don't think there's a person on the planet that thinks
he
can play quarterback.
Some people do.
Who? I haven't seen a single one.
Well, I'm not sure anybody
Mike
in
Felger
the NFL
might.
Today.
Does. No. I'm talking about anybody. I think everybody's come to the realization that he needs to carry the ball and have the ball given to him. He is not the one dispersing the ball. If you think he's doing that, then he can't play in the NFL.
And if
you think he can take a handoff and be a power runner and use his athleticism. I mean, half of what he did at Florida was as a power runner, a running back to build a career upon.
Yep. Right.
So, if you want to use him in some way that way, I think you can have success. If you think he's going to be a quarterback, then he's not.
Yeah, it'd be interesting.
If anybody thought he'd be a quarterback, he's making $1 million this year. $1 million is a steal for a quarterback in the NFL, backup or starter. So if anybody thought he was a quarterback, they'd claim him immediately. He's not going to get claimed. He's going to be an unrestricted free agent as soon as he clears waivers.
Interesting news.
I want no part of
from Tebow's former team.
I don't either.
The New York Jets, who drafted another quarterback, Geno Smith. Smith has now, this is according to Manish Mehta, who covers the Jets.
The urine stream?
Yes, as Fred calls him. Smith has fired his agents after thinking he should have been the number one overall pick in the draft. Diva.
Obviously. I mean, that guy wouldn't touch with a 10-foot pole.
All signs are not
douchebag.
Positive. All signs away from the field for him are not positive. Mm.
And apparently all signs away from the field not positive for Tim Tebow, according to Ramon in Dallas, who writes in, subject line, Andy, you were correct.
You're going to have to be more specific.
Yes.
I'm right so often that.
Well, no, but this is what he says. Yes. Question and a comment. Comment, Andy, take a bow, but don't tip over. You were right about Tebow. That was funny.
That's not funny.
According to my sources, I was in Denver for work and attended the Broncos draft party. My colleague dated one of the cheerleaders and is still pretty good friends with her.
Good for him.
He did confirm that Tebow's a fraud. According to what he was told, Tebow's a completely different guy when the camera's not on him.
Shocker.
When I pressed him for more info, he said, quote, let's just say that he isn't as nice as he appears to be, unquote. Whether that means he's a DB or a perv, I can't say, but I think we can agree he's not the holier-than-thou image he has led.
Welcome aboard to the reality that I've known forever. And by the way, we do know he's touched penises.
Beg your pardon.
Stop it.
He circumcised penises in Africa, so he has fondled young child penises.
Oh, my. Now, Ramon's question. Are we really comfortable with McCourty at safety?
Sure.
Is it possible he'll regress in his second year at safety as he did in his second year at cornerback? Just wondering if this is a possibility slash concern.
Then he's just going to be like a Matthew Slater special teamer going backwards. That would not be funny if that happened, but I don't think there's much of a chance that that happens. I think Paul and I were actually talking about this. I think McCourty's solid at safety. I don't think he's a playmaker. I don't think he's overly good.
Solid is a good word, yeah.
We've seen him make a couple breaks on balls, but in general, he's just a guy back there. He's not an impact guy, in my opinion. Now, maybe a full training camp, full year, it'll get a little better, but I don't see him suddenly becoming this impact playmaker at the back end.
Hmm.
I also don't see him, getting worse.
Okay.
Now, is he just a safety now, you think?
Yeah.
I tried to ask him last week. He obviously wasn't biting.
I wasn't allowed.
No, he's going to give you the wherever the coaches want me to play, I'm going to play nonsense. But, yeah,
well,
he
said you have to be ready. With Bill, you have to be ready because you can never be comfortable.
But Julian Edelman has to be ready to play DB. That doesn't mean he's still a...
Exactly. Right.
He said he, without saying, he's planning on playing safety, but always being cognizant of the fact that Bill can change his mind and expects you to be ready.
Because right now, isn't he... Still pretty high on the depth chart, cornerback depth chart.
Well, if you look at it, you got to figure you got Dennard and Talib.
Dennard are your starters,
and you have Arrington as your slot guy.
Right.
I'm not sure I would feel better having anybody else play cornerback in replacing one of those three.
That's what I mean.
Than McCourty.
That's what I mean. So you're still talking about he is your primary backup corner if you consider the slot a starting position at corner. He's your primary corner.
And I would think that's the way Bill looks at it is if...
Well, you got Rozai Dowling, you got Logan Ryan, you got...
Yeah, well, Ryan I'm going to reserve judgment on until we see him out there. But yeah, I would imagine as a third-round pick...
He's Rutgers ready.
He's going to be one of those guys.
Rutgers ready.
No one can shut down inept Big East offenses like the Rutgers Scarlet
Players
Knights.
Are so good and NFL ready that their coaches now in the NFL wasn't ready to take them.
A lot of emails we got to get to here, guys.
Desirous.
I do like their helmets, though, those shiny ones.
The silver ones?
Yeah.
Steve in Bournemouth, the UK. Afternoon all.
Bournemouth?
So, Bournemouth, yes.
How do you spell
in the UK,
that?
Like Born, Massachusetts, B-O-U-R-N, or the Born identity?
Bournemouth.
M-O-U-T-H.
Born, so like Falmouth and Born are together,
yes.
And they're Bournemouth.
Correct.
Imagine if you were born out of a mouth.
Born to be alive.
And you'd eat in a vagina.
What is, like, at what point in your mind did that sentence make sense?
It doesn't, because he just says it as it
comes
to
him. I blame my son, because he's been on a huge kick lately.
You blame your son.
Imagine if tennis rackets were called tennis balls and tennis balls were called tennis rackets. That'd be weird, huh? And I'd say, no, it would be normal, because that's just the way it is.
Yep.
You wouldn't know it was weird.
He is your son, that's for sure.
Really? You're passing this along to poor Jackson, is what you're doing.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Stephen Bournemouth, afternoon all. So the Jets got a little better by waving Tebow. I think it's a bit of a shame. That dog and pony show was proving a wonderfully painful distraction to the Jets, and it'll be a shame to see it go. But never mind, eh? They still have those other clowns, Sanchez, Ryan, and so on, to keep the circus rolling. Seriously, though, if they can sort out the Sanchez distraction, they'll be on the verge of having a credible team this year. The Dolphins seem to be gaining strength as well, but don't they always? What are the chances we have some genuine divisional shocks this year? As much as I want to be a gung-ho fanboy, I'm preparing for a white-knuckle season and have a gut feeling this year may be a tough one to swallow. Cue inappropriate Andy remark. Take care.
I think you're prematurely worrying. I think that Miami has improved. However, the only way that they become a threat is if Ryan Tannehill improves immensely.
Mm-hmm.
Immensely. We've seen the whole free agent way of going about remaking your team not work. Now, that doesn't mean I think what the Dolphins did was dumb. I think they added some good players that can help the team. Ellerby and Grimes on defense, and then, you know, drafting Deion Jordan. They've made some moves that I think should improve the level of the team. I think they still have a huge hole at left tackle. Andy has been sort of tooting the horn about this one for a while with Jonathan Martin, former second-round pick. Not sure he's going to be a left tackle. Not sure he's capable of doing what Nate Solder did last year. And
oh, I'm 100% sure he's not.
And improving to the level
of... The only question is, do they try it?
Sort of back up to a frontline left tackle.
If they put him at left tackle, he will get Tannehill killed.
The one guy that they drafted... is more of a projected guard. Dallas Thomas, I believe his name is. He played tackle in college, but a lot of people think he's better suited for guard.
You know what that means?
He's a guard.
Yes. You know what that means? They don't have a left tackle.
So that's a big...
You know what that means?
So that's
Chandler
a huge
Jones,
hole.
Year two jump that you're big on. You get to play Miami twice. Jonathan Martin, ooh, that's about 120 snaps.
Well, what if he's a year two jump?
Who?
Jonathan Martin.
He sucked in college.
So
is it going to be a year four jump or five jump?
When does
the jump come from? Because he sucked his whole career.
I said, what if it's a year two
jump? And it's not
jump?
Really his fault. He's a right tackle.
I thought I said that.
He's a right tackle. So it's unfair. If you ask Brady to play center,
so you're
he
saying
would
it's
suck.
Impossible.
If you play a guy out of
so
position.
So you're saying it's impossible.
Impossible. He sucks.
Wait a minute. Even though.
Blows.
See, this is how we can get in arguments even when we agree. This is how I do it with Fred. So you're saying it's the same thing to go from right tackle to left tackle as it would be for Brady to play center. That's the same thing.
To channel my inner Bill. For some guys, it's not a big deal. Other guys, you put them over there, it's like they're playing.
But it's not the same thing as going from quarterback to center.
When you play a guy out of position, no matter how dramatic the position change. If he's out of position, he's out of position. He can't fulfill the duties of that position.
Anyway,
he sucks.
I do think the Dolphins are better. I don't think it will matter unless Ryan Tannehill becomes exponentially better than he was as a rookie. He showed small flashes, mostly earlier in the season. He kind of petered out at the end.
Yeah. Why? How can you giggle? How can
out?
You giggle at the
half
name
the,
Peter?
Half the time I do it on purpose, knowing what's going to happen. So you can blame me if you want. But it's the same story
I'll
for
blame
everybody.
Jackson.
Buffalo?
Don't blame Jackson.
Buffalo's got a new regime. How many new regimes is this since the Patriots have been dominant? Five?
Can't count.
Yeah, I don't know. And the worst part is their Russ Branyan guy, who's kind of been there the whole for a while now. You know, Buddy Nix isn't going anywhere. Buddy Nix, our GM, he's going to be for a long time. Good call there.
Isn't he 97 years old?
I don't know.
Who, Buddy Nix?
I don't care how old
he is.
He's a moron.
He sounds like an old coot.
Yeah, I didn't know he was that old, though.
I mean,
I know you didn't.
cell phones. I don't know. I lost your number. Let me get that down now. Idiot.
But EJ Manuel, the Jets, to me, they're going to, I think they're going to end up blowing out the rest of the
Manual
system.
Manual labors
with,
or labor?
Yeah.
Or if he doesn't get it, he needs the instruction manual.
Manual.
I think you're going to have Rex Ryan leave the Jets. And it's going to be, this time next year, the questions are going to be all the same. Like, has anybody improved to the level where they can compete
You know what's really
with the
sad?
Patriots?
The really sad year is when Brady leaves and Belichick leaves, and then the division just blows, and it's four horrific football
teams
for
grabs.
Battling out for 8-8 division.
Well, I'm sure that Jeff Ireland is thinking to himself, we'll be ready.
This was by design. We've been putting off our success for 5 years until Brady was gone.
But, like I said, it's all about the quarterback, and I think that, and I know this is awfully disrespectful sounding. I don't really mean it to be that way. I think one of the biggest factors in the Patriots' dominance is just how inept the rest of the division has been throughout this run.
Well, yes and no. I mean, you still win when you get to the postseason based on the postseason.
Right.
So, yes, getting to the postseason has been significantly easier for them, but there are a lot of people that believe they've been hurt by it, too. They play too many games against cupcakes, and they're not ready for a dogfight when the dogfight comes in the playoffs.
Yeah, I don't buy that.
I know you don't, because you're everything but Patriots Paul Perillo.
No, I think that that would be anti-Patriot. To say that they're not as good as that, you know, they appeared because they weren't tested. And I think they're good, and I just think that sometimes the other team is better.
There's something to be said for being ready for dogfights.
Yeah,
for being in the pressure moment.
Yeah. And then we always talk about the teams that are in those dogfights every week and beat each other up. They don't have anything left when they get to the playoffs. So which one of those perspectives is right?
Both, in certain circumstances.
That's how I feel about it.
Depends on how you pick it. But I do think, especially some young guys, you know, getting in the situation, when a team needs playmakers, well, they need some opportunity to make plays. And it's not making a play when you make a diving catch in the end zone when you're up 20. It's making a play when you make a big catch.
Pretty sure that was a Brandon Lloyd shot.
Yeah, it was. I don't know the exact circumstance, but that was an irrelevant big catch. But
I believe it was 21 at the time.
Wow, nice. I'm proud of myself.
All right, let's jump back on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Our friend John in L.A. is on. What's up, John?
Hey guys, how you doing?
Good. What's up, John?
How's everything? Good. How's the fam?
Good. I'm out in L.A. hoping to scare up work by making the year 44 jump.
Paul thinks you're going to do it. He thinks we'll be watching. You'll have like a line of you'll be like Michael Bay in a couple
I'm
years.
I'm just finishing up my year 44 jump.
Yeah.
That's how he hurt his Achilles.
Wasn't that high?
That was the year 42 jump.
Sorry, I didn't hear you, Paul.
Sorry. No, go ahead. Eric was.
I was just saying that's how Paul hurt his Achilles, making his year 42 jump.
The Rutgers guys, I was wondering how much of an influence you think the ability of guys like Justin Francis and to sort of pick things up and get the way it's done and therefore more quickly get acclimated into the system would give Belichick confidence to draft guys, like overdraft guys a bit.
I think that's the sole reason. I think he thought the draft stunk. And he's always said, Rutgers guys come in NFL ready. They're, you know, whatever level you take them at, I'm not saying they're the best players, but they come in ready to do the job and compete and all that. And I think if you're in a crappy draft where you think the talent isn't very good, you say, well, I'm going to take the guy who's pro ready, who's going to kind of be up to speed quicker, and that might give him a chance to contribute. Kind of like they did with LSU for a while when they had Randall Gaze and Eric Alexanders and Jarvis Greens. I think they thought those guys, maybe not the most talented, but because of the system they were coming from, were the most pro-prepared. And I think Rutgers right now is that same thing.
Why couldn't they have been Alabama guys, though? You know?
Have you guys already talked about that Grissom guy, that defensive tackle he signed?
Like him?
Yeah, we mentioned him among the others.
I just wanted to know what you guys thought. I just read about it on ESPN.
Yeah, I don't know much about him.
The part that caught your attention, John, is pretty much all we really know about him is that I know some people had him listed as the best defensive lineman that wasn't drafted, or in some cases, the best player not drafted. I don't know a ton about him.
Oh, his first name is Tickery.
Hickory Tickery.
You know, Corey.
Talk.
Ty Corey. Maybe it's Ty Corey. I don't know, but looks like Tickery. What did they have him as? They had a 5th to 6th round pick in Pro Football Weekly's draft guide. Positive, big boned, aren't we all? With a powerful base, flashes pop in his punch, burrows versus the run. Difficult to move, battles to occupy double teams, strong tackler. See and go reactor is a negative. Late to find the ball, marginal finishing speed in playing. Cannot flatten out, durability questions, a lot of broken bones. Weight, well, if he's big boned, why are they breaking so much? Weight was fluctuated in the past. So basically, he's a nose tackle and nothing more than a nose tackle. And will compete for Kyle Love and Brandon Dedrick and those guys' nose tackle reps.
He's not big boned. He's just fat.
Yeah, he's broken boned.
Tacori. Okay.
So, John.
Hey, Andy.
Hey, John.
I wanted to say that I'm really glad you're safe. And I know everybody's been saying it and everyone's tired of probably hearing all of us call in. But
nope.
I was really relieved when I found out that you were okay. I also didn't realize what had happened, and I was on the Facebook page, and I read that people were talking about explosions at the finish line, and I seriously thought they were making a joke about your, like, gastrointestinal.
Now that's funny.
I was like, oh, that's pretty funny. And then I was like, oh, no, there's actually been explosions.
Yes,
oh,
yes.
Oh, boy.
By the way, you should get on that because I got to think there's going to be a movie coming out soon, right?
Eventually.
This has to be fast-tracked.
Oh, yeah.
I'm pitching a pilot I wrote a while ago. Well, I wrote recently, and it all has to do with, like, first responder anti-terrorism task force that has to do with the See Something, Say Something program. So it was sort of interesting that that's
very timely.
Out there.
Interesting.
And, well, maybe this is the one, John.
You going to get that made? Who are you pitching that to?
Well, it's sort of being used to help get staffing on other shows, and I have a couple of people who have deals at certain places that I'm meeting with while I'm out here, and they really like it, so we'll see what happens.
Well, good luck, buddy.
It's a long shot.
Well, who cares?
It's all right.
It's
Brady was a long shot.
Pilot, so.
Brady was 199th pick. He was a long shot.
That's
look
right.
How that turned out.
All right. Well, thanks a lot, everybody.
All right,
John.
John.
Good luck.
And I never get sick of people telling me how great it is to still have me around.
Even I was
certainly
happy. Even I was happy to see you come in on to work that day.
I was really thinking though, in a different day and age, although I guess it couldn't really come, but that whole tracking thing where you could track and there was like every 5K they were updating.
If somebody wanted to take you out?
No, but if you didn't know something had happened, generally, you would have thought I died. Because I crossed, you know, the 40K mark or whatever.
Oh.
And I'm supposed to be like
yeah.
5 minutes later crossing the finish line. And it's been 10 minutes, been 20 minutes, been. Did he die? Did he poop?
Well, he might have pooped, but from
imagine,
you.
Imagine that. Pooping at the finish line wouldn't be good, even for an amateur like me. Not that I'm like Uta Pippig and there'll be cameras, but they take photos
they take
of everybody
photos.
At the
yeah,
finish.
Right.
And you get those sent to you on that marathon photo. Do you want to buy this photo for $23 with poop running down your leg?
Oh, God. You know, normally, guys, we get these emails, you know, fifth time emailer, 25th. Oh, it's become the running joke now. But this is a little bit of a different one. This is subject line, Rob from Ottawa, good to be back.
Okay.
Well, hey, welcome back, Rob.
Yeah. Hey, guys. I'm one of your lurkers. I've been a chronic, if not faithful, listener since 2006 when I discovered your show. But I have a confession to make. At the end of last season, I was footballed out. Couldn't hear about another injury, about how good Brady might be, or a recap of the great debate.
Well, just listen to Paul. He thinks Brady stinks.
I don't know if any of you ever get that way. It's just that sometimes there's just too much of a good thing. Right, Eric? But last week, with the draft looming, I started to reconsider my lapse over the last few months, and on Thursday night, I cranked up the Patriots app, started wandering around the house with the iPhone playing. My wife just looked and shuddered. The parrot started squawking and trying to compete with Paul's voice. I ended up having to use my earphone just to hear what was going on. The parrot calmed down, but not Paul. You guys are like an old pair of shoes, scuffed, comfortable, and more than a little smelly. Thanks for all the entertainment over the years. It's good to be back.
Glad we could help.
Good to have you back,
so
Rob.
Paul's voice riles up parrots.
Yeah.
Polly want a cracker.
Polly want it. Polly want a cracker.
Like,
Polly want an Italian sup. Polly want a pepperoni calzone.
But with the buffalo Polly chicken
want buffalo wings.
But with the buffalo chicken wrap.
Polly
today.
Want a small cheese pizza.
Polly barely fits in cage now.
Oh. He's a funny one.
Oh. He's funny because he's fat.
David from Doesn't Say Where emails in. Hey, guys, great job with the draft coverage.
That in England, too?
Doesn't Say Where?
Yeah.
No, I don't think so. But That's going to be tough to find.
Ville. Doesn't say where.
No.
Oh.
You guys made the boring draft entertaining. I have two questions. First, the rookie minicamp will be held this Friday. Wouldn't it be a good idea for Amendola, Adrian Wilson, the other free agent signings to attend, even if the camp would probably have half the Rutgers players, I guess? And second question is, would the Patriots continue having joint practices with another team, and which team would you think it would be? I know it's not going to be the Saints, Bucks, or even Browns or Falcons. I think maybe the Eagles. Keep up the great job, guys. Well, we already have the we'll start with that one because it's a little bit easier, but we have the preseason schedule and we start at Philadelphia, and I'm guessing with the Chip Kelly relationship with Belichick and also the fact that it's the first one, usually it's the first one or two teams that they play in the preseason, there's a good chance that we'll be going down to the Philly area for a few days before that game. And then the next game, I believe Tampa Bay comes here to Foxborough.
So that's
so there's a pretty good chance that with the you know the Schiano relationship that the Bucs will come here like we did last year going down to Tampa Bay. So that's probably what will happen.
Yeah, I would be surprised if it's Tampa because they play them so early in the season.
That's a point to consider, though.
I think it's week three, but it's in September that they play Tampa, and I think that might be something that they don't want to do. Detroit's a possibility. I mean, obviously, there's a connection there with Schwartzy. But I think that Philadelphia also is a candidate. We'll see. I think that's something that Bill likes. They've done it. When you see them do it, you know, in consecutive years, clearly they liked what they got out of it, mm-hmm. and that they want to probably try to keep it going. And maybe they end up doing Tampa Bay, and they feel like
they don't really give,
we can practice
a whole lot of weight,
you know, and we can
anyway.
Do that without worrying about,
yeah.
You know, giving any kind of information away in terms of the regular season.
Right.
So I wouldn't rule out Tampa Bay just because they're playing in the regular season, but I could understand if they wanted to go in a different direction
yep.
there. The other part, the rookie minicamp, I do not think your established veterans would only get in the way.
But they've had,
although
they have had fringe
they
guys.
Had
they have had fringe
Fred Taylor.
Guys.
I was going to say Fred.
Fred
Taylor
was a guy who went to a rookie minicamp.
I didn't remember him, but
he's the only real notable one I ever remember.
Yeah, for me, I always
everybody
might have
made
a couple,
big deal.
There might have been a couple of others.
He wanted to. He came to me. He thought blah blah blah.
And
blah,
he
blah,
brought
blah.
Up Mike Kafka as a quarterback because there's, to my knowledge, there's no quarterback in this rookie class so far. And I'm not talking about the draft picks, but even the 15 undrafted guys. You need somebody to play quarterback. When they've had veterans, it's normally been fringe roster guys that are looking for a little extra work, and they might be able to help things out. But this is almost as much of a logistical kind of thing. They want to indoctrinate these guys into the way the Patriots practice, the way that they prepare, the way they watch film, the way they learn how to, you know, the system. And I think that if you have guys that are sort of beyond that, it might actually hurt the cause as much as help it. Now,
I'm also wondering if they're allowed to under the new CBA.
Oh,
that was under the old CBA.
That's a good point, too.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Because the new CBA, they're not allowed, the veterans are not allowed on the field with coaches until, I don't know when, but it's not this weekend.
Yeah, and we will have...
So Kafka would be...
I don't know, maybe he's not allowed to be out there.
He must be, because they're not going to go without a quarterback. You have to have, unless it's Caserio.
Just Nick? I don't know. But we do have some chances to do. We should probably ask. We have a chance to get a. Can we get Dan in? We have Dan Conley's.
Yeah, we're gonna take a very quick break, and when we come back on the other side, we're gonna have Dan Conley join us. But in the meantime, keep emailing us at webradio@patriots.com, webradio@patriots.com, and call us 508-298-0398. Back after this.
What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, Better Banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, and online banking with bill pay, along with the flexible options you need to help make your everyday a little easier to manage. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call Better Banking. Sovereign Bank. Member FDIC.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. Now's the time to take advantage of our low price value games. Whether it's the Boston Bruins, Boston Celtics, or Boston Red Sox, Ace has the tickets you need starting at just $19. Ace always has the best seats at the best prices. And all our tickets come with a 200% money back guarantee. Ace has free and easy pickup by Fenway Park or across from the Garden. So treat yourself or someone special. Visit aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop. Dine. Enjoy.
The Patriots Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, autographed memorabilia, and much more, including our new game-worn gear collection, where you can own a piece of authentic Patriots history. The Patriots Pro Shop, located next to Gillette Stadium, is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop, your team, your store.
Verizon Fios is America's fastest internet. How fast is that? Faster than Patriots linebacker Gerard Mayo can take down a quarterback, a running back, tight end, or an offensive lineman who just got in the way. In fact, Verizon Fios internet is more than twice as fast as anything you've ever seen. And that means Patriots scores, videos, highlights, and more right when you want them. Fios is built to support multiple devices simultaneously with a constant stream of your favorite Patriots content. And that means you get Gerard Mayo's sacks at Gerard Mayo's speed.
Now that's fast.
Welcome to a world of football where and when you want it. Welcome to Life on Fios, proud sponsor of the New England Patriots. Fios available in select areas. Internet speeds up to 300 down and 65 up megabits per second available.
Like what you've heard so far? You'll love it even more when you read it in Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or log on to pfwonline.com.
Welcome back to Gillette Stadium, PFW in progress. Eric, Paul, Andy today. No Fred. He's got a meeting or some such thing.
He's big timing us.
He's offside.
He's wussing out. We've been talking about the draft, which just ended a few days ago, and various other topics, including the 15 or so reported undrafted rookie free agents who've signed. And we're happy to be joined by now by a guy who was in that category at one time, an undrafted rookie. Dan Connolly, welcome to the show. First time on? Is this your first time on with us?
Yeah, it is.
Well, welcome.
He's a veteran of the PFW TV show.
That's true.
Right. That's true.
He and I go way back. We've done many painful interviews. Dan looks like he wanted to be anywhere but there.
Those terrible questions.
That's true. I'm not a gifted interviewer.
So, Dan, what's cooking? How's your off season going?
It's going good. We're in the thick of things with the training and lifting and running, so it's going good.
Looks like you just got done with a workout.
Yeah, I'm still sweating.
What do you remember about early on in your career? When you look back on it now, obviously you're making more money now and you've played more, but what do you look back on and kind of recall as the process?
Yeah, the thing I look back at most is, I was a guy that was just trying to make a roster and, just hoping to maybe get a year at first and then, at the most a couple years. And now I'm going into my eighth or ninth year or something like that, and it's crazy looking back, just seeing how far I've come from that point.
Did you talk about that with people, like family, friends? I just want to get a year. Were you honest with other people, or did you have some sort of I'm going to make it and I'll prove them? And
I think I tried to stay pretty humble and I always just hoped I could get to that point, but I never expected it. I came from a small school, so I knew that the chances were probably pretty tough for me. So I kind of just tried to keep a level head about it.
And when you see guys coming in now, are you at the point in your career where you are a leader or you'll give them advice, or some of these young? I know they signed a couple guards undrafted, yep, and things, mm-hmm, of that nature. Will you kind of take guys under your wing, or do you just sort of stick to your stick to yourself in that?
I try to just lead by example. I'm not a big vocal guy, but if there's a guy that's having an issue or something, or something that I can relate to, I'll definitely take him aside and talk to him about it.
Well, what did you do, like, when you were at that age? Like, who were, did you look to guys for advice, or did you just say, I need to worry about myself, or what was your approach?
I had one or two veteran friends that I kind of just hung with and kind of just followed and, did what they did and, mm-hmm, that kind of thing. They kind of took me under their wing.
Is Logan the leader of the offensive line now?
Yeah, I'd say so, yeah.
And how does that manifest?
Is he as crazy as he seems?
He's nuts. No, you guys have met Logan off the field. I mean, he's as cool as a cucumber.
But I'm a little afraid of him, I'll be honest. He seems like a guy that could snap.
You've also seen him on film.
Right. Yeah.
He really likes guys us. Nuts. He likes us as a group, but I don't care. I still
he
make
has
sure
that
I'm watching.
Edge. And when he puts the cowboy boots on and he kind of saunters, he has an aura about him that makes you say, let's keep him at a distance.
Right, right.
I saw him at Trader Joe's the other day pushing the shopping cart around.
It might be a sight to see.
I mean, it looks like he was trying to push a defensive lineman away. It's just like he's overpowering the guy. It wasn't fun at all.
And you know, your position coach is Dante Scarnecchia, obviously. He's one of our favorites, and he's been around this league forever. And
this team forever, too.
We see him from afar because he doesn't talk to the media. He's not a guy who seeks the spotlight or anything like that. And we watch him and what he does with you guys on the field, and we look and we're like, whoa. You know, this guy is intense. They call it Dante's Inferno when you guys are way down there at training camp on the other side. As far away from the media as you could possibly get.
He's like my size.
Yeah.
He's a little guy.
But he's such a great guy when the limited opportunities that we get to talk to him off the field. He's just so quiet and unassuming, a family guy. What's it like to play for him?
You know, he's, like you said, he's the nicest guy off the field. And then on the field, he's very demanding. You know, he expects a lot of us. You know, and he shows it. You know, he'll yell at us if we need to. And you know, but that's kind of what guys in our position need, because we're doing a job that typically we're the lesser athlete of. You know, the guy we're blocking is a far better athlete. We need to be as disciplined as we can be to block those guys. So for him to be on us like that constantly, I think it's something that we need.
Does he play mind games with you? Because I know for me personally, he always, every time he sees me, oh, you're not working out anymore? Did you miss the gym a couple times this week? He's always messing with my head. Does he do that with you guys?
Yeah, I think every once in a while you get that question like, how's your weight?
what do you mean by that, right?
That's what he does.
Yeah, what was your weight today?
Oh. And he does it so quietly and subtly, but in the back of your head, you're like,
it takes you 5 minutes to realize he just took a shot at
you. Do you ask him, do you answer him with a question? Well, what do you think it is?
How do I look?
What would you like it to be?
What do you think about his short shorts?
Just in case he hears it,
I can guarantee that he's not listening to this crap.
No. So it's, I mean, you so like we were talking about earlier, the rookies are going to come in for their mini camp on Friday and Saturday. Probably not going to see many veterans, if any, out there for that camp. But another few weeks, you guys have OTA starting mini camps. Are you at the point now in the offseason where you're ready to get back on the field, as far as just from a psychological standpoint? You're like, I'm tired of working out in the gym, and I want to put pads on. I want to get out there. I want to do stuff.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely a time where you need a break after the season, and the couple months we've had, I think it's been enough to kind of relax your brain and get away from it. But yeah, I mean, season's right around the corner, even though it seems like it's forever away.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, I think we're all ready to get back out there and start getting ready for the next season.
How important do you think it'll be? You guys, well, potentially have your starting offensive line from last year intact. Everybody's back. Sebastian's back. How important could that be as a building block to sort of hit the ground running, building off last year?
You know, I think it's a great thing to have, because, you know, we're not going to have to take any steps back to reteach something. We can just build on what we had last year. And so I think we can just, like you said, hit the ground rolling.
You're sort of, even though you were sort of the new guy a couple of years ago, now Ryan, I guess, is kind of the newest starter to the lineup. What did you think of his performance last year and sort of holding down the fort in the middle there?
I think he did a great job. You know, he stepped right up. He had to compete for that job, and he won that position, and I think he really did a really good job.
We talk a lot about how tough this offense is to pick up, and we always talk about receivers. The young receivers have had a hard time. How hard is it for an offensive lineman? Is it any different, the system? Is it more difficult than anything else you've ever experienced? Or is it
Yeah, I mean, I guess when you're first learning it, it's difficult. You know, but after being in it for a few years, it's kind of just become second nature. But for a new guy, you know, I think around the league, everything's kind of similar. It's just a matter of kind of relearning the new names, kind of learning a new language. You know, it means the same thing, but you gotta find out what those code words are and things like that.
Do you guys not get enough credit for that part of the game, the mental? Because I mean, I played a low-level college football, and I remember linebacker meetings ended, and offensive line was like ordering pizza. They would stay all night for these long meetings.
Yeah.
And, I mean, is that a part of the game that goes unnoticed, the mental aspect of being an offensive lineman, and the calls and the adjustments and all that crap?
It might be. I mean, I think people may look at this as just
big wall of bodies, just
physical, you know, players. But there are plenty players. You know, they appreciate what we do. You know, our teammates, they know what really goes into our blocking schemes and things like that. So you got to be physical and you got to be smart to be an offensive lineman.
All right, what's Tom like to sort of block for? I mean, does he get on you guys?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if we need
unequivocally,
if we need it, he's on us. You know, he's a great competitor, and he expects a lot out of us, just like our coaches do. And if we're not getting the job done, he'll let you know.
Were you here when he yelled at everybody and called the linemen fat cows a few years ago? Was that?
I think that might have been last summer.
That may have been directed.
I think that was last summer.
That was a couple of summers. I think it was directed at Copen.
Yeah.
Okay.
And they had a good relationship, so obviously that was okay. But
and then they started yelling at each other.
Didn't seem very nice to call somebody a fat cow on the field.
But I do that. That brings up an interesting point, though. Do you guys ever get at him if he messes up or makes a mistake, and it's something that maybe affects you guys?
I just do my job.
That's a good answer.
Olivier in Virginia will love that. He always calls in. He's a regular, and he always says, do your job.
Yeah, I can see why you wouldn't want to criticize the quarterback. I'd stay away from that, too.
All right, so you had your workout today. Are you done for the day? What's your immediate schedule like?
Yeah, I'm done. I'm going to go hit the shower and go home and spend some time with the family.
And then you've got
put a little ice on that chin for your daughter?
Yeah. I think Stitches come out today.
Oh, no. Oh, Stitches.
What, she fell Stitches. On the hardwood?
Yeah. Smacked her chin right on the floor.
How old?
She's 3.5.
Oh, yeah. Man. Is that going to scar? Probably.
Probably. She's tough, though. She did good.
It's unfortunate.
All right. So the rest of the week, do you guys come in every day, or is it like
Yeah. Wednesday's an off day as far as lifting and running, but, you know, it's an active rest day. Try to get some massage or stretching, something like that.
Do you guys have any playbook stuff now that you can work on, or is it way too early in the process?
I think it's too early for that. Yeah. And we're just just kind of going through, you know, technique stuff and getting in shape and mm-hmm. getting our strength up.
You mentioned the active rest day, and it just made me think. Somebody was asking me, have you ever used the treadmill they have here, the anti-gravity?
Yeah, the Alter G.
Yeah, what does that feel like? How does it work?
I've used it once. Basically, it makes you weigh less, but still run the same.
But how does it, I mean, is there a harness that lifts you up?
Harness that fills up with air, so it just makes you lighter. Hmm. So you can, you know.
Because I had this whole theory in mind that, as I told you, I just ran the marathon. Well, didn't quite run the marathon, but if they strapped a 100-pound backpack to a Kenyan and then put me on that treadmill to make mm-hmm. me weigh 110 pounds, I'd like to see who could win then.
Yeah.
Could they do that? Is that how that works? It makes you feel like you're 100 pounds?
Or? I mean, I weigh 300 pounds. You can put it at 50% of your body weight, so I could basically run at 150 pounds.
So you could
pretty cool.
You could calibrate it so that both of you are the same weight
mm-hmm.
and then see who lasts longer.
No, I don't want to do that, because if he's 100, he's still going to kick my ass. I need him to weigh 215, and I need me to weigh 120.
That's what I'm saying. You calibrate it so that you're both at the same weight, whatever that weight.
Yeah, no. I need the 100-pound advantage.
Oh, you want to switch
roles.
Well, do both.
Because he's in good shape and runs marathons.
You should do both.
Yeah.
Do it at his weight and your weight.
You ain't winning either way.
That's true. It's
probably not. All right. Well, Dan, thanks for coming on the show. Appreciate
having
you on. Listeners love it when we get players to come on here, too. So we're getting some good feedback from that. And good luck with the rest of the off season. We're looking forward to seeing you guys back on the field soon.
Great.
Before you go, did you want to say anything about Brady? Well, one last chance to yell
at him. Or Dante.
No, we're all good.
Good call.
All right. Thanks, Dan.
All right,
thanks a lot, Dan. All right. Well, we only got 2 more minutes left. Let's try to squeeze a couple of quick emails in here. Noel from Denver says, guys, hope all's well with everyone. I really like this draft, and I think we're trying to handle the real issues. No one has a magic wand for instant success. Let's not forget, we got Armstead early. Who's to think he's not going to be great? Now, do you still feel we have a chance to get Abraham or Freeney? What do you feel should be our number one priority moving forward? Good draft, good free agent pickups, be great on both.
We should probably talk about the Abraham thing, because there's been a lot of rumor and speculation lately, internet reports on that topic, that it's once again seems to be percolating. Now, I know we've heard this before, but that Abraham is
trying to do a deal with the Patriots, that it's becoming more likely that he is coming here.
Just a matter of contract.
Yeah, and we've talked about it. Sean Phillips went to Denver, so that may have removed some bargaining chip that he felt he had. And now Freeney and Abraham are kind of out there, and the Patriots, who knows how that plays out. But there's been a seemingly more smoke the last weekend or so. It had kind of quieted down for a while that Freeney's going to be here. Whether that's true or not, you know, we know Erica Lee reported it months ago. And
you mean Abraham.
Abraham.
Yeah, Abraham, yeah. Sorry. I'll take either. I don't like Freeney as much.
We all want Abraham over Freeney, but I think they need one of them anyway.
Correct.
And I do think it's going to happen. The only part of this that I don't agree with Fred, I just don't think it's already lock, stock, and barrel, and he's going to waltz in on, like, you know, August 28th and just skip everything. I just don't see that happening. Now, listen.
I'm still hoping for it.
First time for everything. Oh, I think it would be hilarious if Fred just, like, gets up and
double barreled, running around flipping us the bird.
I think that would be hilarious.
I told you guys. Why do I even pay you when I know more than you?
Because he doesn't.
It's true.
Last one, Brandon from Doesn't Say Where. We're getting a lot of emails from Doesn't Say Where.
We are very big in Doesn't Say Where.
Thoughts on our newly acquired running back, and we should say we were remiss by not saying the trade on draft weekend, sending Jeff Demps and a seventh-round pick to Tampa in exchange for LeGarrette Blount.
I think he's got a puncher's chance.
That's just poor to me.
But seriously, a bigger back. That was the big back. We were talking during the pre-draft about whether or not they would draft a running back, and the prototypical big back, LeGarrette Blount certainly fits into that category. He'd be the biggest back on the roster if he were to end up making the team. Is that a position of the type of player at that position that they need?
No.
To balance.
Although J.R. Redmond, remember I told you I read that thing where J.R. Redmond thinks his career ended because Antoine Smith was bigger, and that was like, Bill just loves bigger backs, and bigger backs are all Bill cares about. I don't really buy it. I do think he's a bigger back, and I just look at it, it's probably either him or Bolden. One of them makes the roster and one doesn't, so it doesn't really change the depth chart from a year ago. I think Ridley's still your starter. Either Blount or Bolden will be sort of the next guy in, and Shane Vereen is your jack of all trades, make some plays, Danny Woodhead guy.
And you can always mix in Leon Washington if you have a need for sort of an extra guy to maybe be specialized in some way.
But I'll kind of be surprised if he makes the roster.
I think he'd have to be outstanding.
Bit of a plotter.
Yeah, I think he'd have to show an outstanding burst and stuff that I don't really see in him. He strikes me as the kind of guy, now I don't know this to be certain, I haven't done any research on the numbers, but strikes me as the kind of guy that he needs to get 15, 18, 20 carries to get going. And I don't see that being a possibility here. I think you have to be a good running back in this Patriots system. I think you sort of have to maximize your opportunities.
Right.
And I don't really look at him as being a guy that, well, I can give it to him five times and he's going to bust one of those.
Right. Well, guys, that's 2 hours.
That's an action-packed 2 hours.
We've got a lot in there.
We talked about social and moral issues.
That's right.
Talked about the starting offensive linemen, draft picks.
Not a good stuff.
Mini camp. I didn't say any of it was good. I just said we talked about it.
It was good. We have a lot of emails. A lot of emails that we didn't get to. We will try our best to
get. John Rook will get to the. Oh, wait.
Nope. He won't. But we do have a Thursday show. So
we'll be back.
We'll try to get to all of those on Thursday. That's kind of the cue for the music to start, Kevin, which he can't find. But anyway, we'll see you again.
It's frozen.
Okay. Well,
so you need us to go longer?
Is it a silent ending, or do we just... Oh, boy.
So, what are you guys going to do tonight? Eric already closed the email.
I was really hoping we could get something out of Connolly for the... I knew he wasn't getting anything out of Scarnecchia, but I was hoping he would give a little bit of a shot at Brady.
Yeah, I knew he wouldn't.
Yeah,
he kind of wanted to.
Either if
he kind of wanted. You saw the smirk on his face.
Oh, there's a little smirk in his eye. But
he kind of wanted to.
Yeah,
No chance.
I didn't see him doing it because I just didn't feel like... he's not one of those guys. Like, Logan would have taken a shot.
Oh, yeah.
But
you know what?
Oh, yeah.
$50 million, couple all pros. That gives you a little more credibility.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
What's that?
No, it's good. It's good.
Okay.
It's a little mood music here.
That's my Logan voice. Yeah, put Tammy in his place every night.
It's not really all that good. Among your many voices.
Yeah, he has others that are
clearly one of your worst.
It's all right. It can't all be home runs.
Well, you got to work on it.
All right, well, we'll see you noon Thursday.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.